And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. Many this week on the interwebs have speculated that my watch was stolen as I was shaking hands with a crowd of people in the nation of Albania. Nothing could be further from the truth. I hid my watch in my pocket right before greeting this enthusiastic crowd. I didn't want to give any of these shifty Albanian petty thieves even a chance to steal it. I did, however, lose my wallet at some point during my trip and also my shoes. I don't blame the Albanians for this. It's in their nature, their heritage, to be thieves. For generations, proud Albanians have been gypsy con artists, wandering the countryside selling snake oils, tricking unsuspecting villagers out of their possessions. They even will cast a curse on occasion on those who would deny them their unholy lifestyle. But though the Albanians may be untrustworthy, gutless, dishonest, cruel, spiteful, pigeon-toed people, they have one thing going for them. They respect the President of the United States. They love me. I call on the American people to take the Albones as an example of how to treat a president the next time I'm in town. So God bless you, and to Albania, if you come across my wallet, please send it back.
Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello, true. Hello. And greetings and salutations to you all. It is 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of June of the year of our Lord, 2007. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my chums, my amigos, my compadres, my companions. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What has that been Scotty, has that been rescheduled then? From the initial time? Is that the deal? I see. All right.
So Lisa Goddard has been slightly rescheduled. Note to all. Note to all.
All right. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate that. All right. Now get back to booking that girl you have a crush on. Yeah. Okay. Whatever you say. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your corrections, your whatnot, your hey, your what have you, your odds, your ends, your loose bits of assorted mental floss rolling around inside that kind of cerebral junk drawer that you got that you keep right underneath the microwave. You put all the Tic Tacs and the D-cell batteries and the spare pairs of scissors, of which one half is apparently just a thin. 503-733-2970. You can also email it. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Sarah@970.am. Tim@970.am. And then we found out today, I just broke the thing off my pen. You know, let me just ask you this. Did you ever do this? Did you ever look around and realize, I'm going to tie two things together here. A, did you ever find yourself injured and you don't remember how you did it? Did you ever look down and you just have some large scar on you or some big gash that you put into your thigh or something? And you go, where in the name of Christ? It's a little unnerving when you think about it. And the idea that something, especially when it's like a cut, a nick, a scrape, something that actually broke the skin, as they say. Because then you start to think, well, A, when did that happen? How did it happen? And how is it really logically, rationally speaking, how is that really possible that something could actually touch my body and cut into my flesh, and yet I wouldn't notice it, I wouldn't have any realization that it was happening? It's a little freaky when you think about it, because then you're like one of those people that goes out and drives a cement truck down the highway in the middle of the night, and then it goes back home and has no memory that they've engaged in any such activity. It's a little strange. Did me the other day. A huge cut on my leg. Bleeding all over the place. No idea when it happened. Clearly it happened hours before. Had no recollection of it. It's like this. you know what it's like, and this is not the thing I was originally going to tie it into, but you know when you injure yourself and you don't realize it, you know what that's kind of like? It's kind of like when you wake up and you have some sort of an insect bite, you have some sort of a spider bite, you know, like maybe on the inside of your arm, on your kneecap or something, and then you realize that while you slept, spiders crawled all over you like so many arachnid Lilliputians. You're just sitting there tying you down and, you know, crawling up your nose while you slumbered. And then, here's the other thing. When you wake up and you have a spider bite, you wonder, why is it that the spider bit you? Because you were asleep. Clearly you weren't posing any threat. Did the spider just bite you to be malicious? Was it just like a little parting gift from him to you? Had you wronged? Had you killed some of his ancestors or something? Had some of his antecedents have been squashed by you in a previous existence? And so before he left, it was just kind of a final kick to the shins, except with his little spider teeth. These are the things I worry about. But my point is this, that all of my pens, and I'm talking now about this new ballpoint pen that I'm using. It's not the Pilot V5 because they don't make it anymore. But this pen that Dave Zinn gave me, all of the pens that I keep up in my pen holder on my desk have all got the little pocket clip thing, which no one really uses for anything. Who really puts that in a pocket protector anymore? That is a fundamentally useless part of the pen. That little thing that they put on pens. Well, Tim is doing it right now. You can, but
people
you don't,
do
you?
It's handy.
You do if you wear a shirt.
Microphone off.
It's on now.
It's on now?
Oh, the lights just burned out.
Oh, that's going to cause problems. Well, the on light is burnt out?
The DJ said that his light was burned out and he had no way of knowing the microphone is on before unleashing a torrent of profanity. Many children were said to be listening.
Oh, my stars. This is going to cause some problems.
Does the off light go on when you press it?
No.
Wait, so press the cough button. No. Does the cough button even work? Genius. Hey, engineering.
I don't know. Am I coughing? Am I on or am I on?
By the way,
a combination of all three.
If one of our engineers is listening, you should know that nothing on Tim's microphone console works. Nothing at all. Can you turn the mic off?
I don't know. Let me try it right now. Is the microphone off?
No, Tim's off button doesn't work either. His off button doesn't work.
All right, let me try to turn it off. Okay. Now go.
Yeah, okay. So you can do it, but Tim can't turn his...
That's weird. Now I can turn it on, and I've never been able to do that before.
Can I turn it on myself?
Let's all stop and analyze the inner workings of the CBS radio
console.
Does
the top button work?
I don't even know what we're talking about. Okay, talking about pens, but let's hold on a second. It is the Rick Emerson Show, by the way.
That was an exciting topic that I wanted to bring up. The exciting topic of pens.
No, you can't do it now. All right. It's relatable, too. You know, everybody has pens. Don't think they don't.
I was going to say, if you wear a shirt, you put your pen in your shirt.
But now, do you actually... Let me ask you this.
I do it all the time.
Do you actually hook your pen inside your shirt pocket, or are you only doing it now, maybe subconsciously, because I mentioned it?
I do it all the time.
Really? Now, are you not... You don't wear a pocket protector. Are you not afraid that the pen will leak and stain the inside of your shirt?
Well, no, this is one of those paper-made pens. They don't leak.
Oh, and you have the cap on anyway. It's not. Yeah. It's a cap kind. It's not a retractable ballpoint type.
Right.
All right, okay. I was just going to say that that's a thing that no one uses anymore, but here's the weird thing about the pen. If you go upstairs and you look at the pen holder on top of my desk, you look at my pens, and on every one of my pens, that little clippy thing on the pen that fastens it to the inside of your pocket, they're all broken off. Every one of them. And I don't really remember doing it. I don't know how it happens. I don't know whether I have some sort of subconscious, unconscious hatred of the pen. They're all broken. All of my pens are maimed. I have no idea why. All right. Anyway, I got to get a handle on this microphone situation, though, and then we'll get these calls. People are calling us about spiders. We'll tell you what's coming up today. We'll talk about this Geek Watch coming up. I got a little Darwin Watch over here. We got top five we're going to get to. We have the CNN folks and so forth, and there's this girl that Scotty has a crush on. Anyway, so before we do anything else, Sarah, will you please be turning off Tim's microphone? Okay, now Tim? No, I'm asking a question you can't answer. Hit the on button now.
All right.
Okay, so Tim's on button doesn't work. Okay, now, Sarah, please turn on Tim's mic. All right, Tim?
Hello, I'm broadcasting.
Try turning off your microphone.
All right, I'm turning off my microphone right now. It doesn't work. I'm still here.
Okay, now cough and use the cough button. Okay, nothing on Tim's microphone works. You are completely and totally under the dominion of Sarah today, just so you know.
Hello, Sarah.
Get here and fix it. All right. Why, hello, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today, kids. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to join us, I guess, at 11:40. It was going to be the bottom of the hour. It's now 11:40 because the president is busy speaking about something.
Stem cell research.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's very 2006. I don't even really know. Stem cell research is one of those things that I understood for about a day and a half. And then now, and then they started putting out press releases saying that everything I thought I knew about, when everything you know about stem cell research is wrong, everything that I thought I understood about it, I no longer understand. And so I no longer understand what I think about it. I no longer have any opinion on it. I'm now recusing myself, as the Supreme Court justices say. So I no longer have any opinions or thoughts about it in any way, shape, form, matter, manner at all. But we'll talk to her regardless. Also about Fred Thompson, who I neglected to bring this up with her yesterday, but Fred Thompson, who's now even with Rudy Giuliani in most polls and has exceeded him in some polls, all of which are fabricated, but it doesn't matter. I'll be able to make some sort of conversational hay out of it regardless. What else is she talking about? Oh, passports. Passport. Little Werner Brandeis humor for you. Which actually has relevance to me, and so that's why we'll talk about it, because my wife was on me again about going to Italy last night, so which may or may not even happen. Do you need a passport to go to Mexico? You don't, do you? You can just walk right over there. And apparently walk right over here, too. But you can walk...
I think they're changing that because you need a passport to go to Canada now.
See, but I heard that that wasn't the case. I heard... I say, as though I was just out of the... down hanging out in the alleys with the toughs. I heard on the streets, Tim... They were going to change it so you had to have a passport to go anywhere. But then so many people started clogging the government offices trying to get passports that now they've just sort of thrown up in their hands and they've given a collective sigh of uncle. And now you don't. So I don't even know the answer to that. But whatever. We'll talk to Lisa about that. And CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is going to talk to us. And we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop as well about Phil Spector. And I guess they did the final... I think today... might have been the final day of the prosecutorial side of things, which means that they're going to have the defense, which means we might get Phil Spector on the stand, which means he might just begin shrieking and go crazy and rip off his clothing and run up and down the aisles, which would be fantastic. Double Geek Watch coming up today. Some Rosie O'Donnell news, because I know you care about Rosie O'Donnell. We have the top five hippie anthems today. Scotty J. Assemblinger right now. Top five hippie musical anthems coming up. We will get to this revelation about the search for the second worst story in the history of the world. And all of this other stuff that probably isn't even worth teasing right now. I mean, there's some small things that we're going to try to get to as we go on. A big pile of people to be glad you are not right here. Your phone calls and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It is rick@rickemerson.com. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen. How are you doing today?
Hi, good. I think I have a thinky chair. It keeps thinking.
Oh, no. Well, that's because it rotates around the room.
Yeah.
It's one of those, things, and I don't move it myself. And let me just say this, by the way. I know that it's become some sort of a repeated canard on this program about how we come in and the studio is left in all kinds of disgusting shape and there's all manner of food wrappers and crumbs and all sorts of big piles of viscous goo all over the counter. But really today, I came in today and I swear to God, it's like Sarah and Tim, it was some sort of weird joint like highway paving project, the way that they were scrubbing down the counter using like with a combination of Purell and bleach wipes and like soap and paper towels.
With the help of Scotty J.
And really,
and it was suburban cleanliness.
It was like someone had been synthesizing Ebola or something on the counter right before I came in. I mean, you were taking the gloss off the countertop when I came in. And all I know is this. I don't even know what was on the counter that was so disgusting. I just know at one point, and I didn't look at it. I just know at one point, Sarah and Tim were over there. And Tim just sort of, it was like Donald Sutherland at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Tim just sort of looked over the counter and gave kind of a... And just pointed his finger. I do that rather well.
Like some prehistoric pterodactyl.
Seriously. And just pointed his finger at the counter and went, what is that? And Sarah looked over and Sarah said, oh, my God, that's disgusting. And at that point, I left the room because I didn't want to see whatever was on the counter.
I mean, it's like somebody just came out of an Albanian coal mine and sat on the counter.
Pardon me. Do you mind if I lay my eggs on the counter? Thank you. I'll need to swathe them in this gelatinous substance. Can I leave these here for 2 weeks? All right. Well, in any event, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today, kids.
A priest and his lady friend have been missing since the Rose Parade. Actor Tom Sizemore begged the judge, please, one more chance. No, go to jail, said the judge.
Fantastic.
Please go away, Ralph Nader. The perennial candidate hints at another possible run for the presidency.
Oh, that's great.
And this Friday is Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
You know, every day is Take Your Dog to Work Day when you work for CBS Radio.
It is.
So, all right. When is Take Your Kid to Work Day? Is it Take Your Daughter or is it Take Your Kid? Is it now, did they expand
I think they're only daughters.
All right.
Because they didn't do that thing where they eventually morphed it all into one day?
I don't think so.
All right. Okay.
Let's see. Well, I had a thing I was going to do. Well, let's get this. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, how are you?
What's
hey,
up, brother?
Real quick, the reason why spiders bite you at night is because they climb up and they want to drink the water from your eyelid.
Here's the thing. Well, just don't say another word. Hold on. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. I know that that's probably not true, but I don't know for sure. Like if I was on some sort of game show, and Howie Mandel was asking me right now, like, is that your final choice or whatever the hell? It's like 70-30.
I just took a class on it, and
spiders want to drink the water out of your eyelid.
Absolutely, they
don't. They have water at home.
Yeah, they sense where the nearest water source is, and the pool's up in the bottom of your eyelids, and they go up and drink the water from your eyelids and the corners of your mouth.
Spiders drinking water from the corner of your mouth.
Yeah, and actually they did change it to take your son and daughter to work day. Take your kid to work day.
You know,
so I've done it the last 5 years. Have a good day, guys. Right.
Thank you. You know, in China, that's take your parent to work day. Well, I don't know, Scotty. I don't know why they bite you then. Maybe they're unhappy with the quality of the water. They drink? That can't possibly be true. You know, I didn't ask that guy where he learned it. That's one of those things where people call him, my physiology professor told me that Jamie Lee Curtis's penis. It's one of those things that people are told in school, probably at Mount Hood Community College, and there's really no, there's really no underpinnings, academically speaking, given to that. All right. 503-733-2970. What else have we got to get today? Well, we've got to, do we have the audio or even the video, that Sopranos thing that Hillary Clinton did? I feel really out of the loop because I haven't watched
it. I can find that if you want to hear it.
Have you seen it?
I have not, no.
Because I feel it's one of those, it's the thing everybody's talking about, and I have neglected, I haven't watched it yet.
Dennis Miller just played it, too, at the end.
I was busy doing that. I was busy watching you guys cleaning piles of filth off the countertop. So I wasn't able to really listen to it. But apparently, so we'll talk about that. We've got that coming up, and then so forth. I had this note to myself. I was going to make some observation here about... What the hell was this observation? Cahill. Cahill. Cow. I have no idea what this observation is. Well, it can't have been that interesting. Here. Now I've got nothing. All right, well, before we take more spider calls, I've just completely lost my train of thought. It was there, now it's gone. Now it's gone, and I have nothing. Gone! The evil is gone from this place. Well, I'll get it back. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
Hey, we're going to Canada this year. We go up there every year on vacation. We take a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they said, yeah, you have to have a passport. And this year they said, because it's a big backup, you have to have a passport if you fly. If you went out of Seattle on a float plane to Victoria, you need a passport to get back.
On
if you
a
go
slow
by boat,
plane to Victoria, or, is that like being on a slow boat to China?
A lot like that, yeah.
Why are there no fast boats to China? Why is everything that goes to China apparently substandard?
Because it's so freaking far.
All right. Well, in any event, okay, I wasn't really listening to anything you said. So what is the deal with passports? When do I have to? Because I was talking to my wife last night, and she's still on this business that I got to go. And I got to go row down a canal somewhere.
Well, you got to get it if you fly. What they told my wife is that if you fly to Canada, you need a passport to return. If you take a boat or drive or walk, like on a ferry into Victoria, you don't need a passport to get back. Because you're right, because of this big major backup.
So I don't need a passport to go into Canada.
No, you need to get back.
But to come back.
Yeah, they'll let you in, no problem. It's getting back is the bitch.
That's weird. How strange that Canada... That doesn't speak... How sad for Canada that apparently there's no huge influx of people who are desperate to get into there.
they want your money, man.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, thank you.
You bet.
All right, okay, well, we should probably break. It's 503-733-2970, and then I'll try to figure out what the hell I was talking about. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Lisa Goddard will be joining us. We'll have the top five hippie anthems of all time, Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Live from Portland, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Rick, if you fly to Canada, you need to have a receipt that indicates you've applied for a U.S. passport. I don't really want to fly to Canada, let's be clear about that. I almost had to spend Saturday. I almost had to spend last December with my my in-laws in Canada at Christmas. The Christmas. I'm sorry, I'm all freaked out by this email. Listen to this. Rick, if you really want to be freaked out, turn off the lights and pass a black light over the counter. Urine will glow everywhere. Good times. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. No, I almost had to go to Victoria, B.C. or whatever it was for Christmas, and I was able to get out of that. So I've never applied. I've never been anywhere.
Do you ever think about that? Do you ever watch CSI and think about borrowing one of those lights and whether or not you'd ever want to run it over your apartment?
Portland, are you kidding me? Like, I would ever... Why in the name of God would I ever want to... That's like asking if I ever want to have, like a microbiologist come in and just give my carpet a good going over. I mean, think about the people who probably lived in that house before. I mean, they probably didn't even know how to use chairs. I mean, seriously. You're Sarah's all scratching herself right now. Okay, no, but we've got... I'm sorry, yes?
Oh, no, no. It just occurred to me because you're talking about that, and then I had seen this Lifetime movie one time where this family was staying in this house where the husband was accused of murdering his... his wife, mm-hmm. and the parents didn't believe he did it, and they had sprayed that stuff on it that makes blood glow and black light.
Oh, yeah, the Floraline or whatever the hell it
is. Yeah, so the husband was somewhere, and the parents decided to stay in his room, and they go to bed, and they turn off the lights, and the whole room glows, and you see hand smears on the walls and blood splatters and stuff that you can only see at night. It gives me
a whole lot of handprints.
It's handprints, and there's a big, like, body shape on the ground with blood that they, you know, try to get out, but this chemical brings it out.
Is it helter-skelter on the walls?
Yeah, I'm afraid. My building's really old. I'm afraid what happened in
there. Yeah. Who wants to hear an email from Kristen about the sludge on the countertop?
Me.
All right. Kristen Bowie says, by the way, we're not blaming her for this. She says, hey, by the way, there was a thick layer of grease over by Tim's area in the studio. By Tim's area. There was a thick layer of grease over by Tim's area in the studio this morning. I don't know what happened after your show yesterday, nor do I want to. I just want to make sure that you guys don't think it's me. No, in no way do we think you're greasy.
No, she's a very clean young lady.
We don't think that Kristen's greasy in any way. This email says, hey, when I was this is from Aaron. When I was a wee geek, a spider bit me in the lip. I thought I was simply having a horrific nightmare where a massive... Oh, listen to this. Do you want to hear the worst email?
No.
Yeah, you all have to stay in the studio, too.
Oh.
Well, it's that guy. This is where we need some sort of arachnid biologist or whatever the hell. Some guy, some OMSI science nerd who will call up and answer these questions. Because when that guy called us earlier in the hour, was like, you know, the reason you get spiders on you at night is because they want to come up and drink the water out of your eyelids. I let him go before I could ask him where he heard that, because I suspect it was a thing he just, like, heard from a guy who knew a guy who once emailed a question to Cecil Adams. But I don't really know the answer. That's because on the one hand, I guess it sounds quasi-plausible, which is the reason it's so unnerving. But on the other hand, it does sound a lot like, you know, cats steal children's breath while they sleep, or, you know, whatever. So I just don't know. This email says, though, when I was just a wee lad, a spider bit me in the lip. Pardon me. I thought I was simply having a horrific nightmare where a large spider was crawling up my face, into my mouth, and then back out where it bit me on the lower lip. Let's all imagine it now, shall we? Imagine my sheer terror when I woke up and saw my lip growing to 6 times its normal size, going to the emergency room. Life in rural America, says Aaron Geek in the City. All right, well, whatever. So we got Lisa calling in like 7 minutes. So it's kind of this awkward period of time. But what we will do here is we will do this Hillary Clinton thing so we can talk about it with Lisa. And then we'll take this email from a guy who wants our advice about a smelly woman he has to deal with. Because I put that up for like a day or so. And I know it's coming up for him this weekend. So we'll do that. Then Lisa Goddard. News hour coming up at noon. Your phone calls, etc. and so forth. All right. Do you have the Hillary Clinton thing?
I do, yes.
Now, I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either.
All I because
she's gonna win. What use is it to watch it? Well,
that's the spirit, Tim. Why participate in the democratic process?
It's not even determined.
It's a foregone conclusion. Our corporate masters have already made the decision, Tim. All I know is that the general consensus about that what a Celine Dion song she picked is that nobody's ever heard it before. Is it somehow a song that no one ever heard and that no one was familiar with until it was announced as the winner this week? Somehow it swept everything by, you know, like an 80% margin or whatever. So that doesn't make any sense. So if you go to HillaryClinton.com, as I know you do on a daily basis, it would be curious. I'd be curious to know. That's a linguistic tip that I have, by the way, where I say it would be curious to know. I would be curious to know. And I don't think we want to do an Insta poll or anything about it right now. She's got too much stuff to do. But I would be curious to know what the general sense on Hillary Clinton here is in Portland. I mean, clearly everybody in Portland's going to vote for her if it comes down to just, you know, her versus Rudy or her versus probably Hillary versus any Republican. She'll carry Portland. But I really do wonder, given their druthers, who the people of Portland would vote for president. Because what do you say with Nader's getting into the race again?
You think about it.
I love that guy. Just one more stick in the spokes. Just one more way to make the entire election go to hell before it's even begun. So, if you go to HillaryClinton.com, there is this little video that they've made. I mean, in the turnaround time, and this must have been, I mean, this is like Trey Parker turnaround time. They must have done this like the next day. It is a takeoff on the final scene from the final episode of The Sopranos. And it starts with Hillary at some roadside cafe, sitting in front of a jukebox. You know, it's exactly the same little kind of jukebox that that Tony Soprano's in front of. And that's all I know. So let's now play this together, shall we?
Alrighty.
Picture pages style. All right, let's begin.
So in comes Hillary into this diner. She's walking in. There's a family sitting there, a couple, a woman. Hillary's dining by herself. She opens up the menu.
Bill isn't there?
No, he's not.
What could he be doing?
She is choosing something on the jukebox. Oh, here comes Bill Clinton.
Oh, God, he looks old.
Yeah, he does.
Wait, are you both playing this right now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you can keep me down. Keep me potted down.
I ordered for the table.
Carrots.
I'm looking out for you. Where's Chelsea?
Parallel parking. How's the campaign going?
Well, like you always say, focus on the good times.
So what's the winning song?
You'll see.
My money's on Smash Mouth. Everybody in America wants to know how it's going to end.
Really?
Could they be worse actors? All right.
Find out the winning campaign song at HillaryClinton.com/song.
I see. Okay, I see. And then now who's the guy? Who's the guy that's walking by them? I missed that.
That looked like the guy who was in jail.
It's Johnny Sack. How great is that? That's the guy that played John Sacramone on The Sopranos.
He died, didn't he?
Yeah, he totally. He's full on dead. He had the cancer.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, you know, he was one of my favorite characters. I really bummed out when they killed him. And then so he walks by, so he must be a lib, as Scotty would say.
Damn liberal.
And so then I guess you click here to see the Celine Dion song. Well, whatever. I mean,
we don't want to hear Celine Dion, so we're not going to do it.
I mean, I'll give them this. They're terrible actors, and they're just awful, and just couldn't be more wooden. But at least it's not, like, cringe-inducingly awful. I mean, you know, because of, like kind of the Bush people that tried to do it. It would just make your skin crawl completely off of your body. So,
yeah.
All right. Before we do anything else, then, we got Lisa Goddard, who's going to be calling up and so forth. I'm going to do this email because a guy who wants our advice, we'll do that. We'll do Lisa. We'll do the news hour. We got Ed McCarthy coming up, Jim Roop Top 5 and all that. This email says, "Pleased to be helping me. Stinky lady always wants to hug me. Rick, I need advice, especially from you and Tim."
Tim?
Okay. Just turn around, he's gone. You know what Tim is? Oh, never mind. I don't have time. He really is. Rick, I need advice, especially from you and Tim, since I recall this subject coming up once before. I've been invited to a function, and I'm going to be seeing an older lady there with whom I have worked a little in the past. She's not a bad person. You always know that they're about to say something horrible about someone when they preface it by saying, "Well, she's not a bad person as such." She's not a bad person, but is horribly unattractive to me, and she smells bad. I mean, it's not the worst smell in the world, but she always wants to hug me. And here's the thing. And smelly people. And look, I said this as a guy. I did not bicycle today, but I say this.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. Get off my back.
It was beautiful this morning. Yes. There's no excuse.
The excuse is that I'm a fat, lazy bastard. That's the excuse. Not even really excuse so much as just a reason. I say this as a guy who exercises, you know, now and again and doesn't always smell fresh as a daisy. But I will say that the people who smell bad or people who are older and unattractive who you find repellent, they're like cats. If you're allergic, a cat will find you. And if you don't want to be hugged by somebody, as Tim will verify, if you don't want to be hugged by somebody, they'll find you and try to hug you. So he says, "She's not a bad person, but is horribly unattractive to me and smells bad and always wants to hug me. It makes my skin crawl," he says. "Seriously, if she hugs me, my shirt will start to smell like her awful, awful smell, and I'll probably vomit. What the hell do I do when I see her at this function, and I know I will? I'm considering skipping the event altogether, but if I do that, she'll just ask where I was the next time I talk to her. Plus, I already said I'd go, and there are going to be a couple other people there that I actually don't mind seeing. I have been racking my brain trying to find a way out of being hugged by this woman. Can I carry a big box or something with me that would block the stink hug? Not feasible. Maybe if I get my arm in a sling and fake that it's hurt."
That's a good idea.
"Tim and Rick especially, please help me. How can I avoid getting hugged by this heinous woman? Plus, she always calls me sweetie. It makes my skin crawl just to think about it. Thank you, Anonymous." Oh, I've been saying all week what his name was. Well, sorry about that. You know, here's the thing. You got to put Anonymous in the subject line. Anonymous either has to be... You either have to say in the subject line of the email, "Don't use my name," or you have to say it like at the very top of the email, like, "If you read this on air, please do not say my real name." You can't put that at the end of the email. You can't just sort of blithely assume that I pre-read everything, sir. That's a falsehood. That's not really true. Here's the thing. And really, and Tim and I have had this discussion before, because when we first moved over to this building, it's like everybody sort of assumes, and this is the thing you'll notice if you're spending your time with English people, everyone assumes that everyone else has exactly the same personal space parameter that they do in their own head. So in other words, if you do not like to be touched by people you don't know, if you don't like to be hugged, groped, squeezed, fondled, caressed, embraced, encircled by people you don't know, you know what? You don't do that to other people. But if you do like to hug a lot of people, or you're British, then suddenly you assume that everybody is that way, and you have no problem coming up and just giving people like a full-on, you know, just enveloping them. So what I have learned is this, and it's when someone comes up and you can tell that they're going to hug you, the deal is you extend your hand, you grab the hand, and then you kind of turn to the side a little bit. So you sort of give them like a profile. So with the one hand, you are shaking. The other hand, but with the rest of your body, you're sort of turned, not parallel, but what's it, perpendicular to them. Because then that makes it sort of, it just makes it sort of spatially difficult them.
Yeah, because you're occupying their other hand, which means they can't just reach around and get you.
Here's the other thing you can do. Since we were just talking about the Clintons a few minutes ago because of this Sopranos clip, here's the other thing you can do that Bill Clinton does. You go, let's say you're right-handed. The stink person comes up, and we'll get Lisa Goddard's thoughts on this in a second. She's on the phone. You go up, you shake the person's hand with your right hand, but then with your left hand, bam, your left hand goes up on their arm between their shoulder and their elbow. In other words, so like Sarah, if I, you know, I shake your hand, but then the hand that you are shaking my hand with, I put my hand on that arm of yours. See, and that's the great thing, because on the one hand, it allows me to completely control your distance from me. I'm shaking your hand, and I'm also grabbing your arm at the same time, so I can hold you at a distance, not you, but whoever, and then it also seems like I am feigning intimacy. It seems like it's more than just a regular handshake. You know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain?
So I'm shaking your hand, and then I would take this hand and grab your arm right there as well?
Yeah. Well, there's no way to... The irony is that I can't demonstrate this with anybody in this room because nobody wants to touch anybody else. But watch Bill Clinton on this. If you watch any of him work in the campaign rope, when he meets citizens or whatever, he shakes the hand, and it's like you're going to slap somebody on the shoulder. But you're just sort of grabbed in between the arm two, and you kind of do like a this, and you're going to go, good to see you. That's great. And you put your hand about halfway up their arm, and it seems like... you are being, you know, very friendly with them because it's more than a handshake. But at the same time, allows you to totally keep them at arm's length. All right. We'll get this guy who's calling about the stink hugger here in a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN. Fashionably attired with a head full of bright, shiny news, it's CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hello there. Why, hello there. All right, fantastic. I don't even know what the hell that's about. All right. Scotty, can you please to ascertain the deal there? All right. Thanks so much. In the meantime, Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey there. You had some good ideas there about the stink hugger.
Yes, sir.
What about moaning sexually and kind of turning the tables on her or grabbing her caboose?
How about just giving her a good squeeze?
Yeah, just kind of like, ooh, yeah. And then she'll be, like, weirded out, and she'll never do it again.
Now, here's the thing is that, like, I think also it can be kind of a generational thing, too, because he said it's an older person, and sometimes older, especially older women, sometimes they just, if you are sufficiently different from them in age, they hug you because at a certain point it becomes a completely non-sexual thing, and it becomes like, aren't you the cutest little thing, kind of a deal. And then they just want to give you the full-on, like, grandmother hug. And the only thing worse than that is when they give you the slobbery kiss on the cheek, which they think is sort of chaste, but is really just revolting because then you're covered in their saliva. You know what I mean?
That's always good.
Thank you. All right. We got the guy calling about Hillary and all that. We'll do all these calls here in a second. Hi, Lisa Goddard. Welcome now again to the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
A little bit of a challenging day today. How are things going for you? First, I broke my pen. Then I'm covered in these unexplained scars and spider bites. Then, you know, we got phone issues. And it's a whole lot of whatnot. Hey, but you got what was George Bush speaking about today?
Stem cell research school. He's still talking about it right now.
Let me tell you how much...
This is one of those days where just the right hand and the left hand are not meeting each other on the clap.
Let me, That's a great phrase. Can I steal that from you? Is that at least I got it original?
Yeah, first time ever right now.
The left hand and the right hand aren't meeting each other on the clap. That's great. That's that has a real flavor to it. There's some real color there. I dig that. All right.
Something's coming of it.
Does that mean that things are going poorly for you as well today?
Oh, indeed. Just a little bit of a...
Would you like to share with us?
No. It's all good. It's just our typical timing issue. You know, this president is always on time, except when you really need him to be on time.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then he was running... Okay, because we changed our little live shot time. This is all just, looking at our belly button stuff that listeners don't need to know.
No, of course they need to know. Let me also share something else that the listeners need to know. Do you know what the new slogan of CNN Radio News is?
Is it... Signals strength?
No, that's the old one. Signals strength is the previous slogan for CNN Radio News.
We have a new one.
According to the website, which I know you guys spent many, many months thousands and thousands of dollars revamping, and I had to redo my registration for the station and everything for it, and I swear to God, as Dave Barry used to say, I'm not making this up, the new slogan for CNNRadio.com is CNN Radio, keeping it real.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, you wouldn't think so, would you? But yet, if you go there, but the best part, by the way, is to go to the CNNRadio.com site, as the listeners are probably trying
there.
To do now.
I see it.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. If you go there, if you're a station, you got to, in fact, I think if you're anybody, you got to log in. I don't think just like the normal public can say that. You got to log in with the name of your station and the
right.
whatever. But if you go there and if you log in for a radio station, there's a little insertion program that sticks the name of your radio station in there. So, like, when I go to the CNN radio site in the morning, it says CNN Radio and KCMD, keeping it real.
Oh, no.
I live in fear that somebody's going to come into my office and see me looking at a page that has that inscribed at the top of it, which is going to be embarrassing on all kinds of levels. All right.
Wow.
Well, I know you're busy.
Maybe
so
that phrase will take off.
Hey, speaking of phrases that are going to take off, can I just tell you a little something that came out of my mouth this morning?
Yes.
I was at the front desk here at CBS Radio Portland, and I was talking to Dave Zinn, who is more than a phone answerer, more than a receptionist, more than a front desk guy. He is the gatekeeper. He is the,
wow.
He is the, I mean, he guards the sanctum sanctorum right here at CBS Radio. And somebody said, well, Dave Zinn, you know, he really is a, they were making like a WKRP reference, and they were talking about Jennifer Marlowe, played by Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
They said, he really is your Jennifer Marlowe. And I said, no. He really is my Fawn Hall.
Oh.
And there you go.
Nice.
And as I said that, I realized that was an observation I had to pass along to you. I have now wasted lots of your time on pointless things.
My big brother went to high school with Fawn Hall.
Really?
Now,
have you met Fawn Hall by any chance?
I have not. All my siblings are a lot older than I am, so it was a whole different era. But yeah, they were in high school together.
Now, I don't mean to sound lecherous, but am I remembering correctly, did Fawn Hall pose later for some adult publication?
Because I do believe that she did.
All of the scandalous women of that time all drift together in my head. You got your Fawn Hall, you got your Jessica Hahn.
Right.
You got your, who was
it? Don't forget your,
Donna,
come on, Paula, come on.
Paula Corbin Jones.
No, I'm thinking of, coming the Bill Clinton Paula.
That's Paula Corbin Jones.
Oh, really?
You're thinking
there we go. Okay.
Paula Jones, and then you also Jennifer Flowers, who I do not believe posed nude, who really, if you were like to take a look at, you know, like just look at a lineup, Jennifer Flowers really is the one who, I mean, you figure she's got a drawer full of Polaroids at home somewhere because she just sort of looks the type. Who am I thinking of? Who's the Gary Hart girl?
That was not Jessica Hahn?
No, that was Jim Baker.
Oh, jeez, I got them all mixed up. Who was the Gary Hart one? I'll have to look it up.
It was photographed with him on the good ship Monkey Business outside of wherever the hell. Donna, I can't let myself get derailed by this because I know you're busy. All right.
Oh, no, I can figure it out. You're right. I can't.
And I keep having
this,
like,
this area of my brain has that. I just don't have a holster in my brain on this.
Well, it's because you're not.
I need to get one.
It comes with the Y chromosome. I keep wanting to say Donna Brazile, but I know that's not right.
I know, exactly. I had that impulse as well.
Okay, so because I don't wish to squander your valuable time.
Donna Rice. How could
Donna
we?
Rice. See, there you go. Thank you for looking that up.
How could we forget?
Well, she was really beautiful, though, but. But just what an idiotic photograph to be taken. This is a photograph literally of her sitting on his lap.
Yes, isn't that great? Right.
On a ship called Monkey Business.
It's fantastic.
Literally the day after he said to the press, you can follow me around 24 hours a day and wait outside my house if you want. You won't see me doing anything. I mean, for the love of God. All right. Let's all stop and take a breath.
All right.
By all of us, I mean me. Because today is one of those days when I'm feeling a little frazzled. did I tell you that I've inadvertently been taking Midol for the past 3 or 4 days?
Inadvertently? Wait, was it in your oatmeal accidentally?
My wife is spiking my oatmeal with Amprin. I didn't take it today, obviously, because I discovered it's in the generic medicine cabinet here at CBS, and it looks just like the headache medicine. And so I discovered yesterday, after I'd swallowed it, that it says in tiny letters, menstrual cramp formula or whatever. And so I obviously didn't take it today, and so now I'm feeling a little weird and jittery, and it's a little scatterbrained. And so I'm wondering if I've somehow become hooked on menstrual cramp formula, and now that I'm not on the junk anymore, if somehow my brain is going to work inefficiently. So, but that's a problem that you don't really have to worry about. That's kind of an MP, not a YP. So,
yes.
Anywho, let's talk about several things. A, stem cell research. I officially don't even know what I think about stem cell research anymore because stem cell research, and I don't mean to inflame the issue, is like partial birth abortion in that I can never even get a fix on what is real and what's not real and what is propaganda and what's not, and what has to happen for stem cells to be used or to exist, and I really honestly don't even... and what they can cure and what they can't.
Right.
I mean, is there a definitive answer to any of these things? Because the waters are so muddy in all of this.
Yes. I think, just as fair warning, so sadly, already getting... I'm already feeling the eyeballs of Laura Caviezel toward me.
Oh,
so we've got maybe 2.5 minutes, but can do it. We can cover stem cells.
I believe in you.
In 2.5 minutes. Basically, the deal is that there are a lot of different types of stem cells, and stem cells are cells that can evolve into other types of cells. There are some stem cells that can evolve into anything else, and those cells actually generally come from embryos and come in at very early development of the embryo. As an embryo grows, the cells are less flexible. They can still do other things, but scientists believe that it's those early stages of life where you have the stem cells that can become almost pretty much anything. Now, adults have stem cells as well that can be used and made into other cells, but they don't seem to be as flexible, if you will. Like the scientists don't seem to be able to change those cells into as many things. So they have had some success with it as well. And what the president is saying is, I don't like the idea of using embryos and stem cells, especially from discarded embryos. I want to have science. I want to use federal money to focus on other type of research, especially adult stem cell research. And from that, he's basically saying, I have faith in the scientific community that they will find a way to use these adult stem cells, even if they seem like they're less flexible, less able to be manipulated. I believe science can figure it out. Now, his opponents say that without federal funding for those earlier embryonic stem cells, that the United States is completely ignoring, at least the government is ignoring, one of the most promising areas of research for any number of diseases and debilitating factors, such as diabetes comes up a lot. People say, of course, spinal cord injury. That's where Christopher Reeve became a famous spokesman on this issue. So it's really an issue of science and faith. And some people say the bill that the president is vetoing right now would only allow science, would give federal funding for embryonic research, but only on embryos that have been discarded and that would be discarded anyway. I think fertility clinics discard embryos regularly when I think they contact parents and it's a part of the process of a fertility clinic, and a parent would have to sign saying that they were going to discard the embryo anyway. That has nothing to do with research. But the president and others are saying that's a slippery slope, and once we start doing that, we will create a market for these young embryos, and parents will say they're discarding them for...
Meanwhile, there's some guy in a...
It's a slippery slope issue, and that's why the president's vetoing this bill.
So there's some guy in an alley with a trench coat selling you a bottle of embryos.
Right.
It's interesting that the president has this sort of a la carte attitude towards his faith in science. That occasionally he thinks science can, you know, they can come up with answers to things. Other times, science cannot come up with answers to anything at all. Real, like, 30 seconds here. Do I need a passport to go, like, to Mexico or Canada?
No, but you need proof that you are applying for a passport.
So I just need to show intent.
You need to show intent. You need to show a piece of paper showing that you're applying, and you need to have another document like a birth certificate or a driver's license.
Well, that's ridiculous. Okay, never mind.
That's it, but we can cover more.
It's okay. I know you got to go.
Okay.
All right, have a great day. Keep it real, Lisa.
Okay, you too.
Right,
keep it real. All right, bye.
Thanks for your honor, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Jesus. Okay, I'm glad it is not just me. She said that it's in the air. Left hand not meeting the right hand on the clap, or whatever it is she said.
I wonder if Laura Caviezel can actually... Oh, no, wait. They're in different places, aren't they?
I don't know. You know, wondering if Laura Caviezel can appear in front of her?
You can actually see her, but Laura's in Atlanta, I think.
Can just appear in front of her like Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah, Laura wasn't in the greatest mood today.
Yeah, well, never mind. Would be wrong of me to... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. I think I probably waited too long for my stupid point. But
that's never stopped me, sir. Go ahead.
Number one, stinky lady guy, just sneeze on her neck once when she's come in.
Oh,
she should leave alone.
Okay, all right.
And then the Hillary Clinton thing, her campaign manager was talking about it on NPR this morning. If you guys can find that clip, it really sounds like she's personally offended, like maybe she picked that out. And I'm a Democrat. I'm not a big Hillary fan, but I swear it just sounds like she's a little bit offended that nobody likes it.
That nobody likes the song?
Yeah, it, almost like it's, she's taking it kind of personal. Like,
well, no, I mean, I don't seriously believe. I mean, that, because isn't it the deal that the people were going to vote on the song?
Yes.
But clearly,
yeah, that was...
That obviously didn't happen because there's no one anywhere that's ever heard the song before, and there's never, and ever the reaction of everybody on earth was like, well, what? I don't know. What is this? So, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I agree with you. Well, right. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. One more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I don't know if this question was answered. It was Donna Wright.
Yes. Yes.
And going to more old school, there was a congressman or a senator that got caught swimming in the tidal basin with a stripper by the name of Fanny Fox as well.
Now, when you say swimming in the tidal basin, is that code? Do you mean literally, honestly swimming in a tidal basin somewhere?
Literally, honestly, perhaps sans clothing.
That's so great. Wilbur Mills, Tim.
There you go. That's it.
Well done. What was her name?
Bill.
No, but not yours. What was the name of the woman he was swimming with?
Fanny Fox.
You know,
and I'm sure that was her name.
No, but I mean, was she a burlesque performer of some kind?
She was a buxom stripper, as a matter of fact.
A cabaret performer. You know,
yes, sir.
There are just, you know, there just aren't women like that anymore. There's just Dita Von Teese and Storm. That's all we have. Those are the only two women we have left like that.
Ah, the good old days.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. I mean, I like Brandy Taylor and all, but she's just not, she's not the same. Angeline, really? She's in the news?
Yeah.
Who knew she was still alive? Jesus.
She's been airbrushed, but she's still out there.
They're probably airbrushing her in real life, Angeline. If you know who Angeline,
if you lived in L.A.
California types will know Angeline. They're probably real. They probably airbrush her, like, literally, as she's walking down the street. Mm-hmm. There is probably a guy in front of her who holds a piece of glass in front of her, and another guy who just power sprays makeup onto the glass. And that's what you have to view her through. You're probably not allowed to actually get close and look at her in real life because he turned to stone. Should put you in her statuary. All right, well, we'll read, Jesus, it's noon already, and we've done nothing. Got a one-way ticket to nowhere today. Can we just take a second just to relax? Can we just take a second just to breathe? You know, I don't have any relaxation music. Let me see. Do we have anything that's relaxing? Let me look here. I'm looking to see if I have any music.
I must
just,
do.
I don't think I have anything that's,
I have this.
I'm relaxing. No, I've got nothing.
Well, at least I tried, Rick.
Oh, wait, hold on. We've got the...
You're in the lion's den!
No. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. Back after this, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. When we return, the left hand begins meeting the right for the day. And we're going to get to the bottom of this spider thing. We'll call what's his name? Is his name really Criswell? The guy that runs the House of Reptiles? They're a brand new advertiser, by the way. He's the guy that called the show one day and answered that question on Gila Monsters or something. And now he's an advertiser. All right, we'll find out. We'll find out if spiders drink the liquid from your eyes while you sleep. Because I'm not going to be the only one with that stuck in my head tonight. All right, back after this, here's Rob Halford. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Get our act together. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Trying to leave the foolishness of the previous hour behind us. Long road. No turning back. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, James Roop, and the top five hippie anthems of all time. But first and foremost, please put your hands together for the one, the only Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Suspected of driving drunk slammed into a Portland police car at 82nd and Powell early this morning.
I'm sorry. It's just that I almost feel like now every day.
82nd and Powell.
Yes, of course it is. It seems like the first four or five stories of every day's news hour now are just our own personal Bill Murray waking up to Sonny and Cher. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like a Southeast Portland Mad Libs lately.
So apparently this Cadillac was going 60 miles an hour trying to make this turn, and lo and behold, it hits a police car.
That is some bad luck. That is some S-ass luck is what that is. That's just not good. Hold on, I'm trying to visualize 82nd and Powell. Yes, I can see it happening with no problem at all. And am I right about this? Isn't that the most dangerous intersection in all of Portland?
It is.
Isn't that the one that they're always saying, and apparently largely due to this guy, who's wheeling his Cadillac around the corner, and you know he was turning right, too. If he's heading up Powell going to 87, you know he was turning right and going to get some of that all-you-can-eat pizza. So he's wheeling his Cadillac around the corner at 60 miles an hour right into a cop car. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're a cop and you're getting towards whatever, you know, the whatever portion,
you know,
of the
something's going to happen sitting
well,
there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like if you're heading toward that time of the month, you need to get your quota taken care of. You just go to 82nd and Powell, or really anything in Powell, and you just sort of wait, and the crime comes to you.
All right,
fantastic. Well done, officer, who just happened to be on Powell when something bad happened, as it always does.
Well, a California priest and his lady friend, who are traveling together, haven't been seen or heard from since they stayed in Portland for the Rose Festival almost 2 weeks ago. Cheryl Gibbs is a government employee in California, and David Schwartz is a priest from Orange County. They were last seen on June 7th. They've been friends for more than 20 years, and they failed to arrive at their scheduled lodging destinations and didn't arrive home from their trip as planned. Friends and family tell investigators that neither has a history of failing to show up for work or neglecting to keep in touch. They were last seen driving a maroon four-door 2005 Toyota Corolla with California plates. Well, Oregon health officials say they're starting to see a rise in the number of teens who are interested in gambling. The teens who try gambling typically play poker or bet on sports teams. For most, it's just a way to hang out with friends. But studies also show 1 in 25 teens is a problem gambler.
Scotty.
Passengers aboard a Continental Airlines flight had to hold their noses for hours as sewage overflowed from toilets while they were high over the Atlantic.
Let me back up for 1 second, because I didn't know we were going to be done with that gag. That was one of those things where I was waiting for you to finish the story so I could make my pithy and glib observation, and then the story was done.
Oh.
I will say this. And now our song is done. Lauren and I had made that observation a couple years ago, actually, that with the rise of all of those poker programs, it's like planting a tree, you know, it's like planting a seed in the forest, and you come back in 15 years and you see the tree. Well, as soon as those poker shows started hitting the air, I mean, we said, we're like, you know, it's only, in 10 years, there will be some study pinning like this year, like 2004 or whatever, as the year that all of these poker addictions began, all of these gambling addictions, and we're going to come back to this country in 15 years, and like 30% of the population is going to have some sort of gambling problem because of these television programs. So, and it's not a coincidence, by the way. Have you noticed that there's all of those? Remember how a couple of years ago it was Billboard telling you not to put your kid in the microwave or whatever those were? What is that? You know, stove is not a thing to discipline your baby or whatever those. All in my neighborhood, by the way, because there was a whole series of disturbing billboards. There was the stove is only for food, which clearly means, like, don't stick your kid on the oven. There was the closets are only for clothes, and then there was one other one. I don't know, like cudgels are only for animals in the woods or something. It was something about don't beat your children senseless. Those have all now been replaced by gambling billboards in my neighborhood. Apparently, these are huge. Really, and why do you care if people in Southeast are gambling?
Well, listen to this. Video slots have made $1.2 billion for Oregon.
Well, yes, which, so of course, Oregon. So, for Oregon,
so where does this money go?
Oregon's in a fight to the children, Tim. The children that were,
but the children are so done gambling.
Yeah, the children, none of this money ever goes to the children. Isn't that where all lottery money supposedly goes?
Supposedly.
Because then, let me, see, here's the thing.
This is money for public schools, park, and economic development.
It's not. Yes, it is.
They're paying for dozens of transportation projects, right. And the money for the lottery is to help rescue the higher education system this season.
Of course.
Then how come they just closed all those schools?
I was just going to say, they pay for cameras so we can film all the beatings at Lincoln High School.
So they can find the murderers after the fact.
Because I don't engage in state-sponsored gambling, so let's go down the list, because I don't really know. Okay, what do we have here in Oregon? We have Powerball?
Yes.
Yes. Do we have scratch-offs here in Oregon? Okay,
yes.
We have scratch-offs. We have video poker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, I can never forget this, we had this whole conversation with Susan, when we were trying to find an Indian to drive around to help us have a mobile card room, whatever it was, the other day. I can never remember exactly how this works. I guess we don't have state-sponsored gambling facilities, because I guess those are all Indian joints, like even out like in La Center, right? Those aren't Whitey's casinos. No.
So Whitey only has the Powerball and the scratches and the whatever and the video poker, but that is all for the children. But you know what? Can I just tell every time, every, and you all are the same way. Every bar you've ever gone into in Oregon has the Oregon Lottery stuff out front. And there, those machines, and by the way, I pass no judgment. Doesn't matter to me. Gamble away. I don't care. You know, whatever. It's more room at the bar for the rest of us who are trying to get a beverage. I'm just saying, every bar you've ever gone into, there's a guy sitting at the video poker machine, usually Clyde. Every time you go into a convenience store, there's stacked seven deep in front of you buying Powerball tickets. Dennis came up to my office last night. Dennis was like, hey, so you playing Powerball this week? And I said, no. He said, he does $14 million. I'm going to go buy a ticket. And I said, well, you know, have fun. Every time I go to the Plaid Pantry to buy some microwavable snack food, there's a bunch of guys in front of me buying scratch-up tickets. And yet, every time I drive by, what's it, Cleveland High School on the way to work, I just see bricks falling off. I just see shingles blowing away in the wind. Where is the money going? I'm not saying it's not going to the schools. I just don't understand.
So then we have the computerized slots, which are considered more addictive because they're speedy and bright and easy to play.
Speedy and bright, like we're all raccoons.
So the governor proposed adding them to pay for additional state police. The legislature took the money, but not for the troopers. So where did that go?
New washrooms.
A new game hit taverns in May 2005 and quickly outpaced the video poker games in popularity. Now, 2,200 retailers have these new games. So they open at 11 o'clock, and there are already people in line to play.
Well, let's go gamble now, shall we?
Here's Tim Riley. So it's for the children.
Of course.
Oh, the average household, how could this be? Lottery officials say the average household income of players is nearly $49,000 a year. The average age of a player is 44.
Why do you question that that's the case, Tim?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
What doesn't it seem, Tim? Please do explain your thoughts.
No, I have nothing more to say. I want to talk about the sewage flowing down the aisle of a transatlantic airline flight.
Just my one observation, and I don't really know anything about the story because I didn't read it. But I will say this, that there was the most brilliant combination of words on the Drudge Report this morning. There's two lines of text. One of them said, sewage flows down aisle of airplane, and then right below that it just said, click for video.
Yeah.
Which I did not do, by the way, but I love seeing those things together.
I did.
Okay, so what is the video?
Well, it shows in graphic detail what was in the aisle.
Okay, now
some of the steps that were taken to sort of put something on top of it, which really didn't work.
To blot the sewage.
Yeah, it didn't work very well.
Pardon me. Can I blot these large chunks of feces?
But you got to remember that this plane was coming back from Amsterdam, and everyone's already sick from their vacation there anyway. What difference does it make?
Everyone's just been puking and pooping for the whole flight regardless.
Right.
All right, hold on. Well, let me look now. All right, so I'll let you do the story here while I find the video so I can watch the sewage.
Well, please watch it. Passengers on the Continental Airlines flight had to hold their noses for hours as sewage overflowed from toilets as they were high over the Atlantic. To be blatantly honest, I was more nervous than ever on this flight, said one person. University Place Washington man was on board the Continental Airlines flight 1970 from Amsterdam to Newark when things went bad. I've never felt so offended in my life. I felt like I had been physically abused and neglected. I was forced to sit near a human excrement for 7 hours. That's after laboratories in the middle of the flight filled with passengers started spewing sewage.
Spewing! Not just leaking, not dribbling,
sticking,
not
nauseating and uncomfortable.
Not oozing. Spewing sewage. That's like when Logan called up about having an explosive diarrhea.
So the flight leaves Amsterdam, but roughly 2 hours into it, the passengers were told the laboratories were out of commission. An unplanned landing at Ireland was made to fix the problem. But the pit stop became an overnight stay. The next day, the same plane headed for Newark, New Jersey. But just after
takeoff, that'll solve the problem.
Sewage overflow began.
No, I know that everything
there
smells.
There was no turning around.
Everything smells bad, so we're going to go to Newark.
And what do the Irish know about fixing a toilet?
This is the dirtiest toilet in all of Dublin.
It is. I don't know how you can say a plane needs to be grounded one day for a problem, and it's not a major problem the next day.
Is the idea of taking the plane to Newark like it just becomes like one of those magic eye paintings where it's just lost in a series of, it's like a Where's Waldo kind of thing. Suddenly you just don't notice it anymore because it's surrounded by similar. Okay, I've got the, let's see if I can get this video to play. This is from King 5, which I guess is, that's Seattle. But, you know, but the sewage is it's a thing that we all care about, which is why this.
Not just Seattleites.
No, it's sewage is for all, Tim. Well, they're going to make me, let's see if they make me sit through an ad. buffering.
Oh, brother, on a long overseas plane flight, you might expect a little turbulence, maybe a mediocre meal. How about sewage in the aisle?
How about it? It happened inside a Continental Airlines Boeing jet when the bathroom started acting up, spilling waste into the passenger cabin. It is a story new for you at 5:30. King 5's Ray Lane joining us live in Seattle with more, much more, Ray.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. Today we caught up with a young man from University Place near Tacoma who was on board that
plane. Well, he's used to it.
He says it was no place to be at 34,000 feet. That even though there were earlier indications during the flight that there were some problems with the lavatories, that the flight eventually continued all the way to the east coast of the U.S.
Here's the great thing about this. I don't know how much of this we're going to play, but it's just a three-minute news piece. I mean, isn't there some study the other day that they averaged the average political soundbite of the news was like 12 seconds long?
Yes.
Spewing sewage, 3 minutes.
He says everyone who was on board that flight was absolutely miserable.
To be blatantly honest, I was more nervous than I'd ever been on flight.
When things started going wrong, Colin Brock wondered just how bad the problems would get on board the Continental Airlines 767 he was flying. He soon got his answer.
I've never felt so offended in my life. I felt like I had been physically abused and neglected. I was forced to sit next to human excrement for 7 hours.
Okay, I hate whoever this guy is.
Yeah.
Seriously. Grow a spine. Just buck up.
7 hours.
That's after lavatories in the middle of a transatlantic flight filled with passengers started spewing sewage.
Sickness.
The buffering is driving me crazy here.
Somebody's going to fix that.
Seriously, no, I'm still
trying. Nauseating smell. It's very uncomfortable.
It was last Wednesday afternoon when
pictures of sewage
Amsterdam,
here.
But roughly 2 hours into it,
there's a slideshow of it.
Were out of commission, and an unplanned landing in Shannon Island
made
a problem. It became an overnight stay.
Like a time-lapse sort of thing, like the life of a rose.
The plane headed for its original destination of Newark, New Jersey. But just after takeoff, the sewage overflow began. This time, though, there was no turning around.
I don't know how you can say a plane needs to be grounded one day for a problem that's...
Oh, I'm sick of this guy already. Yeah. All right, I'm done. It'd be F him.
Well, the airline gave a $500 vulture for future flights of the inconvenience.
That's so great.
That is.
Oh, gee. No, it really doesn't. Because we've all... I don't want to sit here and just do a lot of sewage stories, but I mean, everybody's had that. Like, usually...
I've never had that. I've never on several occasions.
That's not... Okay, but not on a plane, but I know you've had to ride a Greyhound in your life, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Greyhound toilets never work. Never. Ever, ever. I'm not trying to impugn Greyhound. I mean, I don't need to. I'm just saying the toilets, in my experience, on Greyhound buses, and I'd ride a lot of Greyhound buses...
And seriously, do you want to... use that room after seeing some of your fellow passengers who were in there before you.
Just sitting there hovering 8 inches above the toilet trying to do your business and realizing that even that's not enough.
No.
Even that's not enough. Those germs know how to leap. They'll leap right into your body. But, I mean, I had to ride a lot of Greyhound buses when I was a kid, man, and they were just terrible. Just the toilets, just full. It's like, goddamn, and here's the other thing. You know, because my wife likes to camp, and she likes the outdoors, and to go hiking, the whatever, and I think a lot of my whole aversion to camping and the outdoors and fishing and hiking and staying on the side of a mountain for 4 days or something, or let's go walk 40 miles up the Timberline Trail or just some crap that I have no interest in. I do believe that a lot of this can be traced back to my childhood and the fact that my dad was like this avid outdoorsman, and sometimes he was in a tent, but sometimes it was in this camper that we had, and the camper had this horrible, like, portable toilet that was about the dimensions of like a milk crate. Do you know what I mean? And then you would have to like take it out and like dump this, you know, your business out of it, collect it in like a pan or something at the bottom. It was just horrible. It was just horrible and just revolting. And I know this makes me sound prissy, but goddamn, it was just disgusting. And I mean, especially in like 1980, there were no chemicals covering that smell. What you kids who have today is like you kids who go to the Rock Fest and so forth, and there's the honey bucket. I have to tell you this. I've been in some portable toilets recently, and I mean, relatively speaking, I'm trying to think of the last time I was in some portable toilet. I don't even remember why. Was it some? It might have been last year when we were at that thing that the Willamette had. There was some release party for the Willamette that had some new version of their paper they were putting out or whatever, and we were there at some sort of festival or some sort of party they were putting on.
Yeah, those toilets are pretty bad because it was really hot outside.
Yeah, they were okay, but, I mean, the smell wasn't that revolting. In 1980, chemicals had not come that far. We were not that advanced. And the toilet smelled. It was just the worst thing in history. I don't need to be exposed to that ever again. I stay home indoors where there is carpeting and air conditioning and bright lights and toilets that flush and take the nastiness far away, right out into the Willamette River where it belongs. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, Rick. I got two quick stories about bad bus trips. One, I used to live around the Bay. Bay Area.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a father and son deal, you know, and stuff. So we took a school bus for my school, and this guy that worked with my dad, he drank about three beers an inning while we were at the game and stuff. And then right when we got on the bus and everything to leave, as the bus was pulling out, he puked out the aisle. So everything was rolling back and forth and stuff.
up and down the aisle.
And the other one was we went up to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And just as we were leaving the casinos, the toilets backed up. And, you know, everything spewed out like on that airplane, and we were just headed over the mountains. We went, and we were 165 miles from our destination. We had to go through the whole trip like that.
And I love the idea that you were having to go through the mountains. So it's rolling back and forth.
Right, yeah, it was like a big wave.
Like liquid sand through the hourglass.
Yeah. And I did have one other quick thing. I don't know if I told, I guess it was Scotty, I told about on the news, on Fox News this morning, they had excerpts from OJ's book, and man, they're creepy. Some of them are creepy. I don't know if you can pull them up or not, but it's just like a straight out confession.
We'll try to track them down, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Those are our people, Tim.
They are.
Here's Tim Riley.
A drunken Russian woman had to be pulled out of a newly laid road after she fell into a concrete mixer and then into a pool of drying asphalt.
Was this here in Russia?
The babushka woman was walking home after a lunchtime session with pals in the town of Kirovo. She saw her path was blocked by a machine left by workers who were taking a break from resurfacing a road and tried to step over the machinery, but she slipped and fell into a concrete mixer that had been left on. And after a few minutes of being twirled around inside with a concrete mix, she was poured out onto a pool of asphalt.
This is like that thing in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Make she slipped further until only her head was sticking out. She was pulled up by rescue workers.
This can't be real.
No, it can't be, but it's fun, isn't it? As if not enough bad things are happening in Russia, they have to make more stuff up. A rescue worker said, despite the fact that only part of her mouth was out in the open, she did not shut up and kept telling us what we were doing. It was really annoying.
You rescue me poorly. My husband come home, beat you senseless. Oh, man, it's like that whole, when the Oompa Loompas are singing that thing about the chopping up Augustus Gloop into gloop-flavored fudge. Let's see, what else do we have here? Let's see, somebody sent me the complaint letter about the sewage. What else do we have here? Lunch hour, blah, 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 yada, yada. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We should break here. We'll come. It's already 12:30, for the love of sweet holy Jehovah. Take a break. Come back. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley continues around the corner with the noon news hour later on. Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, top five hippie anthems of all time. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I have no sympathy for some douche who describes how he was abused for having to sit next to some poop for a few hours. Come on. You paid for an airline ticket, and you knew you were and from Amsterdam, no less, where you've just been sitting there. I'm speaking now in generalities. I don't know about this man in Seattle. Well, you've been sitting there stuffing yourself full of drugs for a week and a half. Sitting yourself, jamming yourself full of drugs like some sort of pharmacological Christmas goose. Anyway, he says you're going to be stuck sitting next to some sort of human waste. Usually it's just the person sitting next to you. In this case, it was feces. Get over it. Exactly my thoughts, sir.
That is true. Everyone leaves Amsterdam sick anyway.
No, it's true. I mean, that's the whole point of going to Amsterdam, right?
Right.
There's nothing but booze and drugs and whores for a couple weeks. And you come home and, you know, you get back to normal. You regain your equilibrium. All right, here's Tim Riley, kids.
A teenager in intensive care unplugged his neighbor's life support machine because the noise was driving him crazy. 17-year-old Frederick Moeller said he was trying to sleep as he recovered from a car crash, but the noise of the life support machine that helped keep 76-year-old Herman Berg off breathing, it kept waking him up. A police spokesman in Germany said he told us the noise was getting on his nerves, and he thought it was the best way to make sure he got a little peace and quiet. So he unplugged it. Luckily, the medical staff acted properly and reconnected the life support machine. There may have been a delay, but the old man did not die.
That's how you want to end your life. Some fat German guy looking down at you, kicking up the cord in your life support, and then hobbling back to his bed.
An 87-year-old man gave his relatives a shock in Taiwan when he woke up at his own funeral. The man's relatives were at a Buddhist mourning hall reciting prayers over the dead body when it gasped and woke up. The family had been told by the hospital that they were, they were trying to keep him alive with oxygen hoses, and he died quickly. The family opted to take him out of the hospital so he could die at home. So, apparently he came back to life, or wasn't dead in the first place.
I'm so confused. Did he come back to life, or is this one of those? Because you always hear that thing about sometimes, like, your muscles or whatever will, like, they get rigor mortis or whatever the hell, or you contract it and you, like, sit up in the coffin. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knew a guy who once had an aunt in their family who went to a funeral where, like, the corpse sat up and then everybody peed themselves. Is that what this is, or was he really alive?
I guess he was really alive.
Where is this?
Taiwan.
Well, who knows what kind of medical system they have over there. God, who knows how they determine whether you're dead or not?
Oh, those crazy stem cells are at it again. As expected, the White House says the president has vetoed another stem cell bill. Tony Snow says destroying the embryo amounts to destroying a human life.
The president also has never declared it against the law to engage in embryonic stem cell research. He simply thinks it involves, as do many other people, the taking of a human life, and therefore would require taxpayers to engage in a moral bargain that we don't think they should have to.
Yeah, whatever. Nobody knows what anybody's really talking about or what this stuff means anyway.
That money's supposed to be used for killing Iraqis anyway. Come on. Seriously.
Or the school system.
Yeah. Yes.
So why kill stem cells?
I don't
know. Iraqi.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and a God lover.
Line up those stem cells against the wall. Let them have it.
Stamp out stem cells. A God lover, but Lisa got her. She did her very best to explain what the stem cell thing. But you know what? I still don't know. I don't understand. Then don't call me because I don't care. I mean, I really don't.
No.
Let me rephrase it. It's not that I don't care. It's that I know a man's got to know his limitations, as Harry Callahan once said. And I know that I'm never going to understand this. I know that the stem cell thing is just beyond my ability to grasp. I don't really even understand how, like, the microwave oven works, you know? I know that there's something about water molecules rubbing together, but that's really it. And so just asking me to understand, like, can you make your own stem cells? And this is actually a thing I really am kind of curious about now, having said that, I don't want to know about it. Because you can donate blood for yourself, right? Can't you bank your own blood?
Yes.
Okay, you can bank your own blood. Can you bank your own stem cells? Can you make stem cells when you're an adult?
I don't know where you drop them off.
See? I'll come back for you. Stay here. What time will the concert be over? I'm just saying, like, is stem cells, can I just, like, don't they get those out of your bones or something? Or is that something else?
No.
Do they come out of your spine?
No, you're thinking of something else. I know what you're talking about. And I'm on the donor list for that, but nobody's ever called me.
For spine things?
Yeah, we had this remote once that was supposed to be painless, and they took up this needle this big while I was on the air and stabbed it right into me.
What kind of remote? What kind of a radio station?
Format
was this?
It was donated stem cells or something. I was tricked into this by being told it was painless.
What kind of promotions director did you have? Okay. Now, look, Harvey, you're going to go to the drape store this weekend. And Phil, you're going to be at the swimming pool shop. Tim,
so here we are.
You're going to have a needle jammed into your spine.
Here we are in the circus tent in the middle of this empty field where we expected millions of people to show up. So I'm the only one there trying to recommend people to come out and be stabbed by this giant needle that I was told was harmless and I couldn't see. So here I am lying on a table, clutching a microphone, and screaming at the top of my lungs, "This is painless." So anyway, I got on this donor list, and apparently I was the only one that day who was put on this donor list.
Are you sure this was a real event?
Yes, you're sure this wasn't. Big circus stand out in the middle of an empty field preparing for tons of listeners that were going to show up. And get this.
You sure this was on the air, right? Like this wasn't just a guy in a hockey mask?
No, this is live on the air.
Is this part of a remote? Yeah, sure. Get on the table. Oh, my God. So there's...
What was it?
It was... I don't know. What kind of...
I still get letters from them. I'm trying to remember exactly what this organization was. I mean, it's a rarity that there would be a match from what they take out of you to somebody who needs it.
Well, I don't understand. I'm still trying to understand what kind of radio company you were working for.
Here's the last of the mom and pop operation.
That really is indie radio.
It was.
Some radio company having you in the middle of a field with a guy jamming a needle into your spine.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Did you get a talent fee?
No.
Oh, that's great.
What was that?
You realize how creepy this sounds, right?
Yeah.
Like some guy in a field was just jamming needles into your spine, claiming...
A big white circus tent that was empty.
claiming he was a client. You sure you're a client?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, lay down. You're a real photographer? Yeah, get in my studio. Jesus.
Well, let's think about mattresses. I don't know what led to that last conversation.
Well, I was asking.
And aren't you sorry you asked?
I was asking if I could bank my own stem cell.
Oh, that's right. We never really determined
and
that.
And I said, do they come out of the middle of your bones? And you said, no. But let me tell you about this radio remote I did one time in the tent in the middle of a field where a guy jammed a needle in my spine. For which I was not paid.
Come on down, everyone. It's painless, really.
Come on down! Oh! Okay, fantastic. You're listening to K95!
See what all you kids are missing today?
You know, you just can't voice track that stuff, Tim.
No, you can't.
All right.
Aren't you glad we're in this business?
Yeah, more than anything.
I get to share all these treasured memories of my life. Here each and every day.
That time there was that untested medical procedure used on you live on the air. In a tent in the middle of a field. And no listeners ever came, did they? No, not a single listener ever arrived. Listeners, no.
I'm supposed to make this palatable for the average listener, but it just didn't
You made
a bad choice of words on my part.
God. And remotes like that never draw a single client. That's always a remote, too, where no one shows up. And then the advertiser wants their money back regardless because no one ever shows.
You got 2.5 more hours to go. What is there left to say?
The quintessential, and believe me when I say that it really unbelievably pales in comparison, but I mean, my quintessential...
Oh, I remember what it was now. It was the National Bone Marrow Federation.
Bone marrow is like the hardest thing in the world to donate. It hurts.
I know, I found that out. I was told it was a harmless procedure with a little tiny needle.
No.
It's like something you stick in a horse.
It's like that thing that Goldfinger's pointing at James Bond. Like that huge, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
It was a failed promotion.
Oh, but you've got bone marrow somewhere.
Yeah. So far, there's no match. That was like 15 years ago.
Jesus. Sitting in a vial somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, but let me just say this, that the quintessence of this whole thing. And again, this is really nowhere near your story. Was this time that we had this brilliant idea, because this is years when I was in Salt Lake, worn out, that years ago when the station I was working for was just losing money, or so they claimed. They always claimed that. Here's a little secret. No matter, really, over the years, I've never worked for a station where the guy, who's in charge of things came out and said, you know what, we are flush with cash. Everything is fine. We are rolling in dollars. Revenue is fantastic. And we don't need to whore ourselves anymore.
And then 2 years later, you find out you bought this condo in Palm Springs, and that's where he is right now. When you,
exactly.
And you're living out of your car.
Totally. Exactly. Like that guy that syndicated my horrible national show. Cancel Rick, there's no revenue. I have to cancel your show. That guy, that dick's living in Malibu, in Maui right now. sold his company for $6 million. F him.
What do I get? A needle in the back. For my years of service.
He gave me like $500 severance, me and Clyde. Sent me home. He's living in Maui. F him. F him right in the ear. Anyway, I've never worked for a radio station where, like, you know, we just have so much money, we don't know what to do with it. We're going to limit the number of things that we pimp on the station. No, it's always that, you know...
we're going to reuse the bottled water.
It's never that. Every station you will ever work at, I don't care if you're working at WFAN and you're billing $40 million a year, you will hear this from all for the people who work on that side of the department. You will always hear the... Well, you know, we're really pacing behind last year's projection in terms of revenue. So, you know, we're going to have to hustle this month to try to meet quotas and expectations. And so, you know, everybody's out there on the street, you know, because we're about 15% off this month. And that's what they always say. It doesn't matter. You're probably not. You're probably making 300 times what they thought you were going to make. But they just flog everybody by terrifying you by saying, well, I don't know. I would hate to think that we have to do any belt tightening. And so they had this great idea where they wanted us to do two solid weeks of remotes where the show was live from a different location every day for 2 weeks. I did 10 solid days of my afternoon drive radio talk program. And this is not like a music program. And I don't mean to impugn our fine colleagues who work in music radio, but seriously, you talk like 9 minutes an hour. Just spare me the... it's hard. Shut your holes.
I can barely finish a carton of cigarettes in an airship.
I mean, it's so tough to pre-tape my 10 minutes an hour that I talk.
I just keep getting cell phone calls interrupting my recordings.
Seriously. So, I mean, it's a talk show. I mean, you know, you're talking. I mean, it was like, and I was doing a 3-hour show at the time. 4 to 7. And I mean, you know, sometimes the phones would work, sometimes they wouldn't. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, weekend. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There are 2 solid weeks I'm doing the show live at some hideous location, trying to conduct a radio talk program, except it wasn't even like, there was no news. It was like a Tom Likas thing. It was just me and, you know, sometimes callers when things worked. Sometimes when they weren't, it was just me sitting there, like, you know, listing off random objects I saw sitting around the room. And so, I mean, and it was like one was at a strip club, and like one was at a car lot, and one was at like a carpet store or whatever. But the worst, and I've mentioned this place, the worst was I had to do a 3-hour live remote from a place that, and you just said it, a place that just sold bottles of water. That's it. All they sold was bottled water. What is it that you're going to say about bottled water once you've done, I mean, I went on at 4 o'clock. About 4:45, you've said it. What else are you going to say about the bottled water, especially when no one's calling? Because seriously, why would you call a show that was coming from a bottled water store? Listen to this dick. He's doing 3 hours from a bottled water store. This station must be teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. Let's listen to a station that sounds more financially stable. But no one would call. And let me, there's people coming. Come on down and see me at the water store. Yeah. Yeah, they were lining up. They were 10 deep outside trying to get out of the water store. Jesus, kill me. Kill me. Freaking kill me. There's an air check of that probably somewhere. All right. What were we doing?
Well, we're talking about these new mattress safety rules.
Sure, why not? Okay, here's Tim Riley talking about mattresses.
Well, they're not trying to control the amount of human embryos. The government is trying to make your mattress safer. The Consumer Product Safety Commission acting chairman, Nancy Nord, they haven't hired a permanent one yet.
She's just the pro tem.
Says new mattresses will have to be designed not to burn as intensely as older ones.
Sort of a smoldering death.
Yeah.
You sort of flambe.
Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is buy consumers more time to discover the fire out of their homes.
Oh, it's not going to work.
Please do everything you can not to set mattresses on fire.
Consumers should never go to bed with a candle lit or leave a room with a lit candle. Don't engage in careless smoking habits. Pay attention to what your children are doing, and if they're playing with matches or lighters, obviously take that away from them.
Now, she's only a temp at this job.
She's waiting to get into the Del Monte plant.
Yeah. And seriously, and if your kids are busy playing with matches or lighters, that house is going to burn down eventually anyway. Slow, fast, medium, partially, totally, doesn't matter. All right. Here's Tim Riley talking about
former New York City Mayor Ed Koch says Mayor Michael Bloomberg is not running for president today, but Koch, he will be running. When asked about Bloomberg's switch from Republican to Independent, Koch says he thinks it may prove to be advantageous to Bloomberg.
I mean, he's running. Not running today, but he will be running. In fact, those people who started to run so early are going to be exhausted. He's going to come in fresh and with lots of moolah.
Doesn't he seem like a guy who ought to be behind the counter dispensing life advice while he sells you some locks?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're such a pretty girl. I don't know why you don't have a man. My chair keeps sinking here. Doesn't he also, now, is this a thing that's true or is this a thing I'm making up? I guess it could possibly be both. Is it true that he was he a Ronald McDonald at one point or a Bozo the Clown? Or am I, or does he just look like that? I know Willard Scott was.
Are you talking about Mayor Koch?
Yeah. Not when he was mayor, obviously. I mean, he was busy mayoring at that point. But I got to adjust my chair.
I don't think that's true.
Am I just making that up that Ed Koch was some manner of television, children's television clown?
I think so.
Okay, but be honest. Picture Ed Koch in your head. And now picture him maybe earlier in his career being a children's clown of some kind. You can see it, can't you?
Yes.
He totally
balloon animals.
He totally could have been a clown. Hello, little Jeffy. What kind of animal would you like?
Actor Tom Sizemore is behind bars today after admitting he violated the terms of his probation with drug charges. An L.A. Judge will decide how long he stays there. Deputy D.A. Sean Carney says Sizemore tearfully begged the judge for one more chance, please.
Her statements were fairly clear that it was her intent to revoke his probation and not reinstate him on probation again. Her findings were fairly lengthy and detailed as to how he had abused the privilege of probation and frankly demonstrated that he was no longer going to be amenable to complying with the court's conditions of probation.
Tom Sizemore seems like a mistake. Tom Sizemore, you know what I mean? They'll often say, well, you know, no child should be referred to as a mistake. Tom Sizemore is a mistake. I don't think nature really intended for him to be born human. I think Tom Sizemore is actually some kind of bear or bobcat or something that inadvertently got stuck in the human line. He doesn't seem like a normal. He just said, hello, Tom. Ow! You know, and he just whacks you right in the face and then steals your wallet. Tom Sizemore is someone who needs to be put back at the back of the line again, and then he needs to be reassigned somehow.
Well, Michael Moore says he hopes his film Sicko will serve as a catalyst for change.
I believe that the American public has had it with this broken health care industry and system, and they have just been waiting for the moment to rise up and demand change. I hope this film helps provide this.
That's crazy talk.
He says he's a movie maker first, but not a politician.
I'm not running a political movement here. I'm not a preacher. I'm a filmmaker. So first and foremost, I am trying to make a film that people are going to love to go to on a Friday night, where they walk out of that theater with this exhilarated sense of, wow.
That's not going to happen.
He was asked where things stand with the U.S. government after the allegations that he may have broken the law by taking patients to Cuba.
We've responded to the government saying that we did not break the law, that this is a work of journalism. They want us to name the names of the people that we took there. I won't do that. We've taken the necessary precautions to protect the negative of the film so that it can't be confiscated.
I've got a copy, too, if you need it. Oh. If the government comes and takes your copy, just get in touch. It's one sitting in my house. Allegedly. My guy sent it to me. What do you want?
Michael Moore sent it to you?
No, some dude.
Oh.
I opened it, not like I'm the only one, obviously.
Return address, some dude.
No, I just I opened my email, guy, here you go. Here's a copy of the new Michael Moore film. Click. You know, and I just...
Oh, that's good.
Whatever. Some guy just... I mean, it did it everywhere. I mean, that's why they're pushing the release date up.
Yeah.
Because it's just... it's been released everywhere. It's all over the internets and the webs and the so forth, which Michael Moore himself... may have done because he was afraid that the government was going to come take it away from him and so forth. And nobody's going to leave the theater feeling exhilarated. This is why we were talking about before the show. I'm not even going to see it. I don't know anything about having an advanced copy because that would be wrong and not a thing. But if I did in some way have an advanced copy, I haven't watched it because for the same reason I'm not going to see it in the theater, probably, because it's just going to make me pissed off. It's just going to make me angry. And frankly, let's just be honest. There's
enough anger in the world.
the anger is right here in this room, Tim. Mm-hmm. I don't need more things to irritate me. So theoretically, if I had or obtained a copy of the new Michael Moore film, I would then put it on a digital video disc of some kind and perhaps allow someone else
perhaps
in this
myself?
Room. Or, yes, you or perhaps anyone else in this room who might wish to view it.
Scotty might. I hear he's fed up with the healthcare system.
Scotty's had it up to here with the healthcare system. And then if you all feel that it's something I need to watch, I mean, I guess I feel like I should watch it because it's going to be part of pop culture and it's going to be a thing people are talking about, but it's not going to fill anybody with any kind of exhilaration. I'm going to walk out of that with the same feeling I had when I walked out of Fahrenheit 9/11, which is just like this impotent sense of rage and just wanting to go home and just punch things. So screw that. I got better things to do with my life. Rick, about Ed Koch, wasn't he Grandpa Munster? See, no,
but he looks like it.
But you could totally picture, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Couldn't you absolutely see Ed Koch just sitting there going, "Well, I'm gonna be in the Dracula." All right, here's tomorrow.
Steve Carell's film career is on the roll. They tell us the Office TV star has found success on the big screen with recent films like The 40-Year-Old Virgin. That was like last year, the year before, and Little Miss Sunshine. He's hoping to chalk up another box office hit this weekend with the release of Evan Almighty. Even though his film career is heating up, Carell says he has no plans to cool his pace on his NBC sitcom.
I'll give them 20 minutes every day for 5 days straight, and that'll be it for the season. So whatever they can get, that'll be it. No, I love it. You know, I just in terms of writing and value, nothing beats that. I think it is. It's such a smart group of people, and people are really devoted to the show.
Summer means Americans will eat more fish. Go ahead, eat plenty of it, says the president of the National Fisheries Institute, John Connolly. He says everything.
John Connolly?
Yes, everything possible will be done to make sure fish are plentiful for the. For the backyard grill.
In the U.S., our fishery scientists estimate that a little bit more than 80% of seafood
are
sustainably managed, meaning we're catching as much fish as possible now, but we're also leaving us enough fish for future generations.
Our fishery scientists, it sounds like one of those guys,
smoke piling out of those beakers, and just lightning going in between
There's something like one of those guys in the 50s, though, one of those RJR guys. Our cigarettologists have determined that these Salem actually prevents the common cold. Well, whatever. All right, blah, blah, blah. So eat more fish. Do it now. Do it today.
Yes, the government has strict policies when it comes to the fish.
In the U.S., we have a very rigorous management system where the industry works with government, conservation groups, environmental groups to maintain a healthy stock of supply.
Uh-huh. It's a tireless responsibility, but it's done every day.
That's why there's that big thing on the tuna cans. This is full of mercury and will kill you. Rick, oh, this is a callback to the hugging thing. Rick, my family does the Baptist hug, if anything, but my wife's family is... What is the Baptist hug?
I'm not sure. I don't know what's Baptist.
Is that where they have sex with you and then threaten to kill you if you tell anybody about it? That's the Baptist hug. But my wife's family is... Catholic hug, I guess, which is okay with the... Let me start again. But my wife's family is very touchy-feely, which is okay with my better-than-average-looking mother-in-law, but positively gives me the willies when my father-in-law wants to give me the full-on... Wait for it. Pelvis-to-pelvis lingering hug. That is the Catholic hug. When I arrive and depart. When he has some wine, it's even worse. Sounds more Catholic by the moment. Halfway into a bottle of wine, my father-in-law even kissed me on the neck, to which I predictably can you imagine? Let's all now, and I'm speaking just to the people in this room, because this is a neurosis we all share. Let's all now imagine like an in-law of some kind kissing us on the neck while drunk. He kissed me, Sarah's scratching herself, kissed me on the neck, to which I predictably recoiled in horror, saying out loud, "Too far, too far." Equally predictably, I was in the doghouse with my wife, but I didn't care. I felt violated, Rick. I can never scrub hard enough to remove the creepy feeling. So thank you for the no-hugging advice. I will employ the two-handed handshake in the next family function so I can stop curling up in the fetal position and repeating, "Find a happy place" to myself every Christmas Eve. Chad the laundry guy. Yeah, if you want advice on how to do the two-handed non-hug, which sounds like some sort of a whatever. You watch the opening of Primary Colors. The first 10 minutes of Primary Colors, they explain it in depth because Governor Jack Stanton, who is clearly Bill Clinton, from whom I got the whole thing, I watched him do it. You watch the beginning of Primary Colors, and they explain how Jack Stanton does the two-handed non-hug. That's exactly the way to keep people from touching him. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Something has to be done to catch the Texas ponytail bandit. All available police officers are now trying to find out where she is and what she'll do next.
It would be very strange for a female to be traveling the country by herself. So I think when we find these individuals,
yes, of course.
There's going to be
home
some
like a bonnet
who's an ex-con, possibly a former bank robber that's putting her up to this.
What year is that soundbite from?
It's very new.
There's a woman on the streets during the daylight.
She has a blonde ponytail.
She looked me in the eye. This email says, we'll find out when I can find it. Rick. It would actually be... This is interesting. Now, this is an interesting email. Rick, it would actually be very interesting to have Scotty J. watch the new Michael Moore film. Then we could all get a thoughtful, well-reasoned, suburban perspective on the topic of health care. Well, before we do anything else, let's with the whole...
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that spot!
Please up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, the one, the only, the frequently intoxicated... Scotty J. Hello, Scotty, and how are you on this fine Wednesday?
Good morning.
Hungover?
You never answered the question.
Feeling great.
Are you really?
I think you didn't like my government cheese opening.
No, I've disregarded that. We're going to pretend that didn't happen.
Scotty's wearing his Dr. Pepper shirt.
Again. That's like the third time in about a week. Is that kind of your go-to shirt right now?
Yes.
Have you washed it?
No. Everything is packed. And,
glad you're standing next to Tim.
And so I just grab whatever's standing up in a corner in the closet.
All right.
Yeah.
In any event, what was I going to ask you? Blah, blah, blah. I forgot. Oh, yeah. So speaking, before we get on to the Michael Moore thing, somebody sent me an email yesterday about you and your alcoholism. I'm sorry. I meant to say your inability to quit drinking. And the question is, he said... You are, like, 40 years of age. Have you not figured out at this point how to not be hungover? Because your whole thing about your hangovers last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that, like, you come to work frequently, are unable to move. And, like, we were doing the Portland Teen Idol thing, and you were on the verge of dying the whole time. Scotty, I'm sick like a paraplegic is sick. Have you not figured out at this point how to drink without screwing yourself over?
I have a problem with drinking water, so I should do that more.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
You're supposed to drink water after you drink alcohol. You're supposed to, like, pace. So if you drink one alcohol drink, drink one or two glasses of water after. And then drink, again, one or two glasses of water after.
Or just drink a ton before. I mean, you know, this is my understanding. Because a lot of hangover pain is the actual dehydration of your brain. Because alcohol is a strong diuretic.
Right, and that's why I can't remember a lot of things. But
your
I will remember
just
to
dehydrated
drink
away.
Some water.
Your synapses have just gone through the floor and the bottom of your brain, right out the bottom there.
Yes, and you can see my brain on display at OMC right now. So
see, that's one of those things that you were trying to be funny and then it didn't.
Yeah, just kind of stumbled out. So.
Yeah,
it's all right, Scotty.
So seriously though, so before you go drinking next time, much water.
I'm never drinking again.
Just stop, and maybe like a vitamin. And
okay.
Then, you know, when's the next time you're going to be drinking heavily? Will that be tonight?
Sounds good. Last night
I would not take a position against those odds, Rick.
No, last night I was thinking, it'd be nice to have a little toddy right now, but I didn't. I have things to do.
Like what? What are the things you have to do?
Oh, I'm just kind of cleaning my house up.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's right. You're trying to sell your house.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So you can buy a bigger one. Not enough consumer debt in your family. You got like 9 new cars and a shower television.
Yeah, it'll be sad to walk away from that part.
Yes, our debt is down into the double digits. We better buy a bigger house right now. All right.
Hey, it's a buyer's market. It's just not a seller's
market. I have a low-paying radio job. Let's get a bigger house. You are a radio person. I have this unstable radio job.
And a new convertible.
Scary, it could end at any moment, and it pays me badly. I better buy a house, Liz Wild style.
That's how you motivate yourself, Rick.
Okay, whatever you say.
I have no choice but to make it work.
Sort of a throwing away the oars while you're in the middle of the stream kind of a thing. All right, are you going to be seeing the new Michael Moore film?
Actually, it kind of caught my eye. I'd like to hear, you know, what they're proposing. He might be complaining about a bunch of stuff wrong with the healthcare system. I'd like to see what he proposes then.
Okay, but so are you going to be seeing it, though, is my question.
I'd like to, yes. But I think I will.
Okay,
yes.
So you will be seeing it. So we can now. Can we get maybe we can have you be the advanced reviewer of the Michael Moore?
Sure.
Okay. Now, do you promise to give an honest, objective assessment of it? And if you watch the film and you say, "By God, that Michael Moore's right when he points out these horrendous failings,"
if he has something that's right, that's great. But
no. I'm saying if you believe his film to be accurate when he points out the failing to the healthcare system, will you acknowledge that? In other words, it's not Michael Moore's,
Okay.
It's not his job necessarily to solve it. You know, maybe he doesn't.
Sure, he can complain about it.
I'm not saying complaining. I'm saying if he points out things that are legitimately wrong, will you acknowledge that?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So when does it, Tim, do we know when that opens here? Or here, as Cartman would say?
Well, it says the 29th.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if it's going to open here.
All right. Well, I know they're opening. It's like opening in New York, I think, first before anywhere else. So I think maybe next Friday. But, who knows? There may be screener copies floating around. We'll have to look into that.
Wow.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Scotty. All right. We should take a break here. Come back. Ed McCarthy here in just a few moments. Later on, we have the top five coming up. So I have hippie anthems of all time. Jim Roop. More from Tim Riley and so forth. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. But before I don't care. I'm just saying it. I got to check. And sometimes it freaks me out. Like it.
You know, I had to put on some eyeliner because when I leave the house and, I bike ride to work like, you used to. It's all hot and sweaty and it's a pain to like put on makeup before. So I just do it when I get
here. Well, the hardest part about bicycling is the 20 minutes it takes you. And even as a guy, like the 20 minutes it takes you to look like you didn't just bicycle to work. Not a problem I had today. No, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't losing my mind. It's like, when you see, your wife does something to her hair and you're not quite sure. And you're like, yes, no. And it's like, there's no right answer to that. Because if you don't comment on the hair and she did have something done, which happened to me last night, then you look like a jerk for not noticing.
What did she do?
She got it, I thought she got it cut. See, this is the other thing. It's weird to me. No one cares about this. But I thought she got it cut and it turns out she got it colored. And I don't know how I would confuse one as the other. But she's like, you didn't notice. Here's the thing. The guys know this. It is like this. This fork in the road where you either comment on it, and if you don't comment, you're screwed if she's done something. If you do comment, then sometimes you're screwed because she had it done like a week ago, and you're just now noticing it. So I held back. I noticed, but I said nothing. And she's like, well, you haven't mentioned my hair. And I said, no. It looks very nice. They've layered it. They've given it a cut and a whatever. She goes, no. It's exactly the same length. It's just colored. So it's all very whatever. No,
I needed to get a haircut. I realized I got my hair done by Bishop's like in January. I haven't had a haircut since.
Yeah, but nobody knows. Okay. If you're a girl, nobody knows.
Yeah, I had too much hair, though. I need to get some of that cut off.
I should read this email from the guy who was hugged, and we'll do that immediately after we talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Joining us now from the Mellow South. In Atlanta, at the CNN Center, where they are indeed keeping it real. Hello, Ed McCarthy.
Hello,
how are you today?
Rick. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you aware that the new slogan for CNNRadio.com is CNN Radio, keeping it real?
Keeping it real.
That is, in fact, your new slogan, and I'm not making that up.
As we usually do. Or do we?
I'm sorry. I had a mouthful of coffee there. I didn't expect that. I'm sorry. Okay,
Silence led to questions. See, do we keep it real?
No, that's not my place to say, sir. I believe that's more of an internal judgment. That is a judgment best left to y'all. This is the last day I'm ever going to talk about this. It's not that I don't care. It's just that it's largely resolving itself, and what's going to happen is going to happen. But I do have to make this because this is a thing that a lot of people have sort of been following, and it is sort of a pet case, but it's a case a lot of people have been interested in for a lot of reasons because it does. Maybe the Paris Hilton case or the OJ case before, this case was sort of a microcosm of a whole lot of slices of American culture all mixed into one the big teapot-contained tempest, which is this Duke lacrosse thing. And so this is the final day that I'll ever say anything about this. But they, this Mike Nifon guy, he doesn't get the clue. The judge disbarred him and said, like, you're finished, pal. Like, it's all for you. You're down the road. And then he said, well, okay, I'm just going to stay another month, right? I mean, that was, like, he tried to stay another month. And the judge, like, the judge literally had to say, like, no, get your crap, get out, right?
That's, you know, the legislature made it official that they would be able to at least take his pay away, and that would be the incentive to probably pack up the office and get out.
But they literally, I mean, they had, it says here, the sheriff actually had to come and take his keys away from him.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to. Did they do it? Did he cry? I'd like to think that he cried at least a little bit.
Well, he did. He did on Friday was very contrite, but there were still questions. The experts were saying, now, is he saying he's going to resign because he was hoping to avoid disbarment? Well, then came Saturday, and by the end of the day Saturday, that was not an option. He was definitely disbarred. But, you know, he said that he was going to step down. Well, of course he's going to step down, but they were wondering when, and then they found out it was going to be July 13th, and they said, well, that's not acceptable. We don't want him on there anymore. So the legislature in North Carolina actually went to work yesterday and came up with a formula where they make it sure that he is out right now, and that's what's happening.
If he's disbarred there, can he go be a lawyer somewhere else?
That's a good question. I think he would have to go through the whole thing again with the Bar Association. I'm sure that there would be background checks on attorneys as well as others. I mean, just like a criminal's record would show up on some kind of a computer database. You know, it's pretty obvious that that might be the case here.
And then the final question, and that has been asked a million times, and you probably do not have an answer to this because nobody does. But did anybody ever come out and give an explanation as to why they did not charge this hideous woman with filing false police reports and effectively trying to ruin all these guys' lives? I mean, this guy, Nifong, they took his badge and they took his keys and they disbarred him and they kicked him out and he's shamed and embarrassed and broke and whatever. And was there any explanation given as to why the woman just got to walk on this, though?
Well, there were some rumblings that perhaps that she wasn't...
She was crazy?
Yeah, a little bit unbalanced. And also, they said that, you know, there were at the party, there were a lot of people that really weren't putting two and two together when they were trying to talk to them. But the same token, you know, we had Nifong still saying that he believed that something happened there.
Well, that was the thing, is he's still sticking to his guns. He's saying, well, I don't believe that all the facts have come out. When I think the facts that, I mean, it does seem like it was sort of an open and shut case that he was ignoring evidence that was, as they say, exculpatory.
You know, and I certainly believe that Duke got the message because they were very, very quick to settle out of court with the three students and their families.
Oh, yeah. They probably haven't even, the ink hadn't even dried on the suit probably, and they, Duke was just like, let's give you some money and have you go away. So,
exactly what happens in high-profile cases like that because they know what's coming.
All right.
Especially when you have the... the state attorney is saying, oh, this guy's out of here.
Well, I'm never going to bring this up again just because it just fills everybody with irritation. So, hey, by the way, just a final note. Is it true, this is a thing that normally only happens in movies, is it true that they found a baby in a basket on a doorstep I don't know, wherever the hell it was, somewhere down your area?
It's the case of the missing, that's the one in Canton, Ohio, the case of that missing pregnant woman.
Right.
And so they did. They found a baby in a basket, and we were still waiting to find out if the DNA matches, but authorities were saying they didn't think it would. So this case is really very, very interesting. She's got the husband who is a policeman, and, it's just the whole thing of this. They're saying he's not a suspect at this point.
Yeah, it's all kinds of weird. And who, really, honestly, the baby in a basket on the doorstep is just what, I mean, was it on the doorstep of anybody significant, or was it just like random? Because that's a thing that you don't really hear about happening in real life.
Exactly. Well, you know, that will happen from time to time, but they're wondering if it's connected to this case that she's missing and, the baby was taken from her.
Did you see they got this thing? I think it's in Japan now, and if I got that wrong, I apologize, but I believe it was in Japan. I was reading this news story where at some of these Japanese hospitals, they got those, it's like not a dumbwaiter, but one of those,
it's like a what is the thing I'm trying to use? It's like one of those. It's
the elevator?
Not an elevator, but it's like a book return thing at the library. But it's the kind that's sort of cylindrical. It's like a revolving glass door that you walk into in a building, but a miniature one.
Okay.
So you can put some. It's like when you put a urine sample in or something at the hospital or whatever. So you put it in and you turn the thing, and the person on the other side can grab it, but they never see you. Anyway, there's one of those now in Japan where you just drop off your baby, and literally there is like. It's like a little pictograph sign if you don't speak the language or if you are illiterate or something, where it shows you literally like how to put the baby in there.
Wow.
And like how to turn the door, and then you press the buzzer and you walk away, and somebody on the other side says, oh, wait, there's a baby here, and you can just drop off your baby. It's just the weirdest thing. We're just living in the strangest world these days.
Yeah, let's not give people any ideas. We'll be doing that with pets next.
Seriously. All right. Ed McCarthy, my friend, enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk to you very soon.
You bet, Rick. Take care.
And excellent. All right. It's 503-733-2970. And speaking of dropping off babies and just dropping off pets and really people who just took a serious misstep in life early on, and Tom Sizemore and going back to the end of the line and being reclassified and so forth. I was thinking about this Kip Kinkle thing the other day, and I don't have any answer to this. But is the deal, and maybe we don't even know the answer to this, is the deal with Kip Kinkle that, like, he's in a regular prison because he didn't plead insanity, he just pled guilty? Do we know if that's the deal, Tim?
Yes, they're working on that.
Good cover. That's great. I just don't know because I was thinking about this last night, that if he's clearly insane, which he is, and which I think those MRIs clearly bear out, like if he's got actual damage to his brain, I mean, what reputable doctor said that he was able to make that decision on his own behalf? Like, whoever looked at Kip Kinkle and examined him and said, no, he seems fine. He's able to make rational, cogent decisions. It seems like there's a doctor somewhere that ought to be...
Well, now they're saying he was ill at the time of his plea.
What do you think? That's hard to believe. I mean, seriously, what doctor examined Kip Kinkle and decided that he was able to make rational decisions in a court case for himself?
Oh, just growing pains.
Yes. Seriously. Little bumps. Little bumps and crescendos on the ride of adolescence. Well, whatever. That's a doctor that ought to be given a serious talking to. By the way, apparently there's a...
Well, they should have argued for insanity.
Well,
for the
I don't even know that
he was
should...
very, very ill, said Dr. Sack.
I don't.
the retired
That's
doc...
gonna be my porn name.
The retired doctor of childhood adolescent psychology at OHSU.
They call
Dr.
me
Dr. Sack.
Dr. Sack
also treated Kinkle during his stay at the juvie prison before it was transferred to the CPEN.
I think at the juvie prison, lots of people are treated by Dr. Sack.
He had the classic signs of paranoid schizophrenia.
I'm sorry. I know it's a serious case, and there are dozens of people dead. But I lost it at Dr. Sack. I'm sorry.
No, this is Paranoid Schizophrenia Classic.
As opposed to the new flavor?
Yes.
All right. It's 503.
He suffered from hallucinations. He heard voices in his head. He had delusions, including the belief that the Walt Disney Company was trying to take control of the country.
Well, that's true.
And that the government implanted a computer chip in his brain, said Dr. Sack.
That. You know what I keep picturing, too? I keep picturing... What's his name? Is it Sidney Poitier? They call me Dr. Sack. All right.
He started hearing voices in the sixth grade. Apparently, he was too young to understand what was happening to him, so he kept his symptoms hidden.
I don't really know that that's a thing of arguing that he's insane. I think that's just a matter of everybody acknowledging that he's insane. Although, did you hear, and I know that we're already in the news segment and we haven't even taken a break yet. Oh, by the way, did you see this thing about a gas leak, Tim?
No.
Breaking, a little bit of breaking news here. Hold on, where's the breaking?
No.
No, breaking news. Apparently there's a gas leak. Southeast 82nd and Powell has been closed due to a gas leak. Bam! Best thing that could happen
that
to that place,
be,
really.
That could be the remnants of that Cadillac crash last night.
And that, you know, who knows? But apparently Southeast 82nd between Division and Powell. Great.
And you wanted to go there so badly.
I've been needing to buy me some gold rope.
Hey, Gen X clothing is out there.
Seriously. And the cat and doggy do's place.
And Food for Less.
And Coffee Romance. Oh, that's right. And Food for Less is right there, too.
And the beauty supply store. Everything you'd ever need.
Yeah.
My dentist used to be over there.
Really?
The one with the dripping ceiling?
Did he have a suspicious German accent?
No. You're lying back and water's dripping into your eyeball.
Is it safe? I love this show. All right.
I think we all do.
Really? I don't care if anybody else does. I do. We do. That's enough for us. Okay. Let's stop and get a hold of ourselves.
Well, whatever. Kip Kingle, blah, blah, blah. He's nuts, clearly.
What are you going to do with him, really?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not even a question of arguing that he's insane. He just is insane. And anybody who doesn't acknowledge that clearly just has some vested interest in sticking kids in prison because they like it. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. Although I will say...
What's the leper of a reality show or something?
Well, not quite yet. Give it 10 years. I will say that I was listening to this other hideous talk show yesterday. It was not on the station. Wasn't any other
hideous talk
show. No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, very clear. This is not something I was. It was not something on this station. Wasn't something we were. It wasn't anything we were broadcasting. I was gonna specify who it was a little bit. It certainly wasn't that program at the Bad Billboard. But they were talking about the Kip Kingle case. And to be fair, it wasn't these guys who were saying it. But they were playing the soundbite. From the prosecutor who's trying to keep Kinkle back in prison. And you can, you know, that's something you can hear talking points when they happen. Like, you can hear when some idiot has been given, like, a set of talking points, one sentence or two sentences to describe the whole story, and they just repeat those talking points over and over again. Like in the Florida election in 2000, we kept hearing that Democrats just want to count the vote over and over and over again, which is like factually untrue on a million levels. But whatever, this is the thing they said. So the prosecutor in the Kip Kingle case, it's like we're all 10. Her talking point is, Kip Kingle wants a do-over. There are no do-overs in life and death. And so that's like instead of the actual well-reasoned argument, that's what it is. Let's get this Dr. Sack call. And then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley and the top 5 hippie anthems of all time. Plus, we found out the outcome of The Hug. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. And hello, good Wednesday to you.
Good Wednesday to you as well. If Dr. Sack went crazy...
Now, hold on.
Are you going to play the Think About This Before You Say It music?
No, I'm just... Now, listen, let's not be... Don't be smart. I'm just asking, before you make this Dr. Sack comment, do I need to have one of our joke sound effects ready?
Yeah, you might have the one thing.
All right, hold on. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Hey, if that Dr. Sack went crazy, would they call him Nutsack?
Nutsack, sir. You would be Nutsack. Not to be... Oh, I'm sorry.
We're at the hang up.
You did it for me. I forgot about that. Sack, Nutsack is really the best I can get out of that. Let's end this. I'm ending this now. Listen to that. We'll dedicate this one to our good friend Kathy, who recently purchased the Bat Out of Hell album based solely on our recommendation and who loves it. You don't like it? You can just give it a big lick is what you can do. All right. Take a break. Back into this. Tim Riley, top 5. Jim Roop, all the way. You stay there. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. We'll see if he knows anything about this O.J. Simpson book. Apparently it's coming out again for like the 50th time. We got to give an update on the second worst story ever. Top 5 hippie anthems of all time. I will say, in the song's defenses, this is, I don't even know how to do that correctly. Songs is whatever. The defense of these songs, it was going to be the top 5 embarrassing hippie songs. But then we did a canvas of the room, and it's sort of like, you know what it is? Here's the thing. It's like how we all make fun of emoticons, but we all use emoticons. We all have at one point or another. We've all used a smiley face or said, like, LOL, even if you make fun of it. So we canvassed the room, and we realized that all of these songs, or most of these songs, were liked by at least one person on the show. So we did, in all fairness, people accuse us of being unnecessarily cruel, but in this case, we did remove the word embarrassing. So these are no longer the top 5 embarrassing hippie anthems. These are the top 5 hippie anthems of all time. So we'll get to those here in a few. Who wants to hear the worst? I'm not even going to read the story. Who wants to hear the worst headline ever? What, Tim?
I do.
Who wants Trident?
I do.
No one remembers what I'm talking about.
Yes, we all remember.
All right. Never mind. Okay. Just going to read you the worst headline ever, and then we'll... This is from our friend Crystal. She emails this headline. Stab victim continued masturbating.
And now, from the Minnesota...
of truth. This is Tim Riley.
Was that an inspection of some kind?
I don't believe so. That's just what the headline said. I mean, look, if you really want,
I can read the story.
Oh, yes, yes, please do.
Well, let me pre-read that.
That may not be a thing. That may be a thing that might be construed as working in a blue fashion. You're never going to play the big... You never play the big room if you work blue, as Frank would say.
All right.
Ow.
Well, a Florida man says he was acting on instinct when he strangled a rabid bobcat that attacked him on his porch.
A man from where?
Florida.
I barely knew.
God damn it. Oh, I was going to be all smart.
Sorry.
Dale Rippey said it was clear the crazed bobcat had to be stopped. The 62-year-old Vietnam vet endured the bobcat's lashes and bites until it got into a position where he could grab it by the throat. So he strangled it. Ripley's neighbors called for help to show the dead bobcat was a rabbit. Animal control officers praised Rippey for using his head. They said if you let the cat go, there would have been more victims.
Now, a bobcat is... Now, is that a slang term for some other animal, or is that like a specific...
Bobcat.
I think it's like a cougar.
Well, but is it... But it's not...
smaller than a cougar.
Okay, but it is like a specific animal. It's not like... Yeah. That's not a slang term for some other commonly known animal.
No.
Like when they say crawfish or something.
No, that wasn't a crawfish.
All right. And it was a rabid?
It was a rabid.
Now, here's the... Let me... I have a question about rabies.
Rabid animals.
About rabid animals.
Yes.
Now, if an animal has... If an animal is rabid, does it... Does he
foam at the mouth?
Well, not just that, but is it a thing where they just go a little crazy, or does it literally, is it like 28 days later where they literally are like aggressive and just attack everything? Do we even know?
Well, I'm always curious
more aggressive
about
than
that.
Any other animals, they're just rabid.
But I guess, well, that's what I'm saying. Well, no, because there's that, when you picture a rabid animal, it's just like you always picture like it sees you from a mile away and chases you down and tears out your jugular.
Well, let's check out the rabies webpage. That's just for kids.
Rabies for children. It has a pleasant taste to it.
Wild animals may move slowly or act tame. Also, some wild animals like foxes, raccoons, and skunks that normally avoid porcupines may receive a faceful of quills if they become rabid and try to bite these prickly rodents.
I'm going to form a metal band, some grindcore band, and we're going to be called Faceful of Quills. That is so badass. I'm writing that down right now. Hello, we're Faceful of Quills.
Signs of rabies in animals include changes in the animal's behavior. Yes, so they can become mad dogs or cats or whatever. A general sickness, problem swallowing, an increase in drool or saliva. Wild animals that appear abnormally tame or sick.
I got that problem all the time. All right.
They may bite at everything if excited. They have difficulty moving, and eventually they do die.
All right. Well,
only after they bite you.
Okay. Face full of quills. I am totally starting a band, and we're just going to have, and all the songs are going to be 2 minutes long. There's going to be one guy who goes, and another guy who goes, and then there'll be a solo, and then the album will be some weird font that you can't read, and then it will be huge.
Symptoms of rabies in humans include pain or tingling at the site of the bite, hallucinations like Kip Kinkle, and paralysis, unable to move parts of the body.
All right.
Then you enter a coma and die.
Well, kids,
go to the website, Rabies for Kids. There's some fun facts here, too, that we haven't even gotten into.
It's a pleasant orange taste that dissolves on the tongue. It's Rabies for Kids.
Fun facts. Rabies is a serious disease that is caused by a virus. Each year, it kills more than 50,000 people.
Really?
Around the world, yeah.
Well, yeah, but most of those people are in America.
No.
No, that's it.
Those are people that, Bono's trying to help. It really doesn't help anybody.
No, Bono doesn't help anybody at all.
No.
You know who else doesn't help anybody? Those people who run on marathons to cure cancer.
I know, and right after they finish, they begin planning next year's like they have no intention to cure it in the first place.
Seriously, I'm glad we've done this marathon for cancer. Let's all go eat hamburgers somewhere, Seriously. I will say this, though. I was at Safeway the other day, and God bless them, they were actually taking donations for prostate cancer, I think is the first time I've ever seen that. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be all battle of sexist about it, but I mean, it has always kind of bugged me that they do the breast cancer thing, but they ignored prostate cancer simply because, it killed a lot of folks. So they do both sides of the fence now, but you're not curing anything. Where's that Onion headline that 10,000 runners fail to cure breast cancer? You're not solving a damn thing.
They have some rabies games here, a rabies coloring book.
Is it like
a rabies smart quiz and certificate?
Pin the 100 needles on the child's stomach.
You can be a certified rabies smart kid.
Even when you're not busy biting people.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about rabies.
Also, there's a quiz here.
Rabies is caused by a virus. A bite from a snake can give you rabies.
Wait, is this true or false?
True or false.
Okay, wait, hold on. Quiz me about rabies right now.
Rabies is caused by a virus.
True.
True.
Okay, I'll mark the answers. A bite from a snake can give you rabies.
False.
The target of the rabies virus is the nervous system.
Yes. True.
One of the best ways to prevent rabies is to vaccinate your pets.
True.
If you were bitten by a wild animal, you should clean the wound right away.
Yes. I think I'm all proud that I'm scoring well on a test made for like 5 years.
People can get rabies from the blood of an animal.
I'm sorry?
People can get rabies from the blood of an animal with rabies.
I've been drinking all this animal blood, too.
Yes. Rabies can kill you.
Yes.
Never dump wild animals or bring them into your house.
Well, yeah, okay, sure.
Do not pick up strays, unfamiliar, or wild animals.
Yes. These are really questions to weed out the weakest
and
the shameful, aren't they?
One more. You will always know if you're bitten by a bat, even if you are asleep.
Are people bitten by bats while they're asleep?
Apparently so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This is... You know what this is? You know what this is like, Tim?
What?
Hold on. Oh, damn it. This is like a thing I don't have a sounder for. This question about whether you're bitten by a bat while you're asleep?
You will always know if you're bitten by a bat, even though you're asleep.
False. Okay, let's see how we did.
See how you did here. Trick the quiz, please. 90%?
Yeah! Wait, what did I get wrong?
False. Rabies is found in saliva or spit. You cannot get it from the blood or feces through skin contact.
So eat all the feces.
So I would think that if it's a rabid snake, is that true? Could you get rabies from a snake?
That's not one of the questions.
No, it was one of the questions.
That was the second one.
Well, you know who can answer that question? Let's welcome now, from the House of Reptiles, Tim Criswell, joining us now on the Rick Emerson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, my friend, from the House of Reptiles, a brand new sponsor on the Rick Emerson program.
The music is so loud, I can't hear you. There you go.
Hello.
Wow.
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing, sir?
Doing good.
House of Reptiles, a brand new sponsor on the Rick Emerson, the radio program, and on this station, and I swear to God, it is just coincidence that we were doing this rabies snakes, spiders drinking your blood test, and then our good friend Carol's like, you gotta get the House of Reptiles guy on. Call Tim. Hello.
Yeah.
So here you are, sir. All right. We have questions for you about things that creep and crawl and slither and slurk.
Okay.
All right. Let's work our way backwards. Can you get rabies from a snake, sir?
There are no known cases of rabies being given to a human by any reptile that I know of.
All right.
There are no known unknowns.
I love that.
Right.
So I guess technically possible. Haven't heard about it, though.
You know, I don't even know that it's possible.
Is that a thing that snakes just don't get?
Are there any things that snakes don't get?
I guess what I'm saying is rabies. Like, for instance, I had a hedgehog, and I remember they told me one time that, like, there were a couple things that would kill it, but then it was immune to, like, everything else. Like, my hedgehog could just eat plates full of Ebola, and nothing would happen to it. is rabies just a thing that snakes do not get?
I don't think so, Rick. I have never, ever heard of a case of that. I had a hospital staff person tell a friend of mine one time that it's possible for a snake to carry it because they eat rodents who can carry rabies. But yes. That's the first I had ever heard of that. You know, I'm a student of this stuff and have been for 20 years, and I have never, ever heard of a reptile having rabies or being a carrier of it.
Okay. Let's see. What else did we... Oh, here's the other question. Now, this is a thing that may or may not fall within your expertise area, but you're better qualified to answer than anybody here. So, I was talking at the beginning of the program about how it's weird that sometimes you wake up, spider bite on your body, and you're like, well, that's weird. I was asleep. Why was a spider crawling all over me? Why did it bite me? Why did I irritate the spider when I wasn't even moving? Like, was he biting me just to be a jerk, like, when I was asleep? So a guy called up, and here's what he said. A guy said, and I never thought to ask him where he heard this, but a guy said, it sounds ridiculous now that I say it out loud, but a guy said that spiders and possibly other creatures crawl on you while you're asleep because they go up to your mouth and eyes to drink liquid out of your eye.
I don't think that that's true in our environment. I think in some really arid parts of the world, that might be true. I don't think that that's true here. There are certain times of the world and certain times of the year when spiders invade our homes. And then I just think they're
like
kind of
Che Guevara, just coming in with bandoliers and guns.
That's right. That's right. Unannounced and uninvited.
And now what? And is that normally in the spring or in
right.
the fall?
Spring.
All right.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you, here's one final, speaking of spiders invading our homes, I found one of them, the hobo spiders in a shrub in front of my house last year.
Mm-hmm.
Freaked me the hell out, by the way.
Yeah, you don't want to get bitten by a hobo.
No, but you know what I got? I got one of those cool things that looks like a tennis racket that electrifies.
Oh, yeah.
And it lets you electrocute small creatures. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I went, and I could tell he was a hobo spider because I had printed out a picture of them from
the
internet.
He was carrying a stick with something.
He was carrying a bindle
heading toward the railroad track.
Walking down a train track. Yeah, exactly. Asking for a handout. Yeah, because he had stubble. Hanging out with little orphan Annie. But seriously, folks, thank you for coming out tonight. So I had a picture, though, printed out from the internet. But this that said that the one trait of hobo spiders was that they would go into a web of another spider and kick the spider out or attack it or kill it and then, like, take their web. And so this thing looked just like a hobo spider, and I swear to God, as I watched him, he, like, found some other spider who was, like, sitting there just hanging out of his home, and this hobo spider, like, goes right into the spider's web and starts picking a fight with him.
Yeah.
And I went right in, and I got my electrifying thing, and I came out, and I fried his ass into little tiny spider bits, and it was satisfying. And then I saved the other spider's life and his web, and now he owed me one. So my question to you is, there was this whole thing in the news about how hobo spiders, like all bad things, were just especially prevalent in southeast Portland. Nowhere else, just southeast. So why? What the hell?
Don't know.
Okay.
But I had a spider expert not too long ago tell me that there was a South American spider who has taken up a colony in the basement of one building in Los Angeles.
When you say South American spiders, isn't that bird spider? Is it that's like a foot across?
No, this is a really small spider.
Okay,
it happened to be pretty toxic, but
this is how arachnophobia starts, by the way. That South American spider that comes here, and the next thing you know, John Goodman has to come to my house and step
that's
on everything.
Great. Well, I'm just happy to help.
So how did it get into Los Angeles?
Well, nobody really knows that for sure.
Oh, great.
And like I said, the only place outside of South America that they've ever found it is in the basement of this one building in Los Angeles.
Well, everything bad goes to Los Angeles eventually. All right, excellent. All right, sir, House of Reptiles, located with, how do people contact you if they want to know more about reptiles or perhaps purchase one?
We're in Tigard, and our phone number is 503-722-1992.
God bless you, sir. All right, there, Tim Criswell from the House of Reptiles, brand new sponsor on the station. Thank you, my friends.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. From the House of Reptiles, Tim Criswell.
Reptiles are mostly snakes, aren't they?
I guess. Well, if anything, it's scales.
Oh.
I guess, but not fish. I'm sorry, my chair keeps sticking.
An alligator has scales.
Yeah, my chair, it was fine. It's about an hour ago, and now it's just half-lifing away underneath me. I think the definition of a reptile, I say, like I know.
Yes, Rick, enlighten us.
Well, I was going to say cold-blooded, but birds are cold-blooded, aren't they? Birds aren't mammals, or are
birds
they?
Birds are birds.
Are birds...
Jesus.
Birds are birds, so what can you do? We just had the reptile guy on the phone. We can't get him back. But I think spiders. I think reptiles.
Oh, they're tetrapods.
You don't even know what that means.
Well, they're embryos.
They have 5 feet.
I don't know.
What does tetrapod even mean?
Oh, they're represented by crocodilia, which are crocodiles.
That's their appointed spokesperson.
Spenodontia.
He speaks for their community.
I guess so. Also, lizards and snakes, turtles and tortoises. So a turtle can be a reptile.
The turtle's an amphibian.
Well, I'm reading off Wikipedia.
Oh, that was just put on there by some fifth grader. That's Logan at home just defacing Wikipedia pages. Okay.
Oh, they can be lizards, too.
Okay, but I believe a reptile... We're just filling young minds full of misinformation. Do you want to hear the most hilarious email?
Sure.
Listen to this. See if you can spot the punchline. I get people, and I'm not going to spend... Pardon me, I've just got to fix this chair. Give me a second.
Okay.
Why don't you go get the toolbox? We're always...
All right. I get email from people every day that are professional haters of this program and maybe other shows. And they sit up there and they sit up there and buy the radios. And I'm like one out of 9 million talk show hosts who can say this.
Well, we want disc jockey to come back.
Well, and they sit by the radio just to get angered by things that we do and things I say, or to point out like factual errors in the news or in the pro. Rick, you're completely incorrect with some like fact or number that you gave, you know, as though that should come as a surprise to anybody. And they'll send me like four or five emails a day. I got X dozen of those guys. And they'll send me three, four, five emails a day, each email more angry than the last, about just some like real trifle that we were wrong about in the program, which we're never going to clarify or retract anyway, so that's not ever going to happen. And it's a whole lot of, do you ever admit that you're wrong? The answer is no. I don't know. We can't be bothered. There's no time. We're wrong about all kinds of
things. We don't have enough time to admit how many times we're
wrong. Seriously, that would just be the whole, we'd have to have a whole weekend program where we just talk about how wrong we were about
something. We'd have to be in here on the weekend, and we can't have that.
No.
That'd be taken away from all the people who put slime all over everything.
Seriously. Anyway. But this guy says, this guy is not one of those emailers, but he does have this thing about Hillary Clinton. He says, I find Hillary Clinton odious for many reasons, blah, blah, blah. I hope we come to our senses and before we pit her in a losing battle against the GOP. Anyway, he goes and he quotes Arianna Huffington, who apparently hates Hillary Clinton for some reason. I guess because of her political views. And then he says, maybe again, you think Arianna's a douchebag. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, I saw the Hillary Sopranos parody and found it laughable and pointless. Why make such a big deal about choosing a campaign song? I hate politicians and politics. And then he says, Rick, I thought you were better than that.
I don't think you spent that much time
no,
on it.
No, and we're not better than anything. I can't really think of anything except maybe like... I can't really think of anything except maybe certain
kinds... Jeff.
I didn't say that. I was going to say except certain kinds of fungus.
Oh.
Or spores or something that we were better than. I think reptiles are distinguished by something, by a thing. Yeah, I don't know. When we get back, somebody will answer that question. Plus, we'll have the top five hippie anthems of all time, plus more news from Tim Riley. And I'll read the story that goes with this headline. Stab victim continued masturbating. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rock and roll, coming like a rhino. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Steve has an answer to our reptile questions. Well, I guess not.
We'll never know.
I knew he wasn't there. I just wanted to tease the audience. All right. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson
One
Show.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George and Rosenville. Hello, sir.
Rick, I have your answer to why there are so many...
Hold on. Do you keep us on speakerphone?
Well, actually, as I'm trundling around my property conducting my business, I have to keep you on a speakerphone while I'm...
What kind of business are you engaged
in? I have an internet-based business, medical products, alternative health care, that kind of thing. Can I give out a shout-out?
Yes.
I'm not stopping you.
Okay, essentialplanet.com.
Okay.
That's my website.
Okay.
Anyways, I just wanted to give you an answer to why there are so many hobo spiders in Southeast Portland. But before that, I wanted to ask you, can we please ask, the lovely, I'm having a brain seizure.
The lovely Lisa, Scotty?
Lisa. He is quite lovely, but no, Lisa Goddard, what she thought about Harry Reid and his undocumented American comments.
Oh, you know, I keep forgetting to ask her that. I didn't ask her about Fred Thompson today. I just, she and I got so off the beaten path talking about Donna Rice, and then apparently she's been beaten around by the CNN people lately to not spend so much time on the phone with us. So.
What a shame.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, the reason there's so many hobo spiders in the Southeast, do you have a derogatory rim shot available, any chance?
Sarah, do we have a rim shot?
Yes.
All right. Hold on. Give us a second. All right. Go ahead.
They're the official mascot of Deadhead. Hobo spiders, get it?
That really wasn't worthy. Okay.
George, come on.
I said a derogatory rim shot.
Run the joke by somebody else sometime before.
I did.
Run.
My wife also thought it was in poor taste.
No.
Right. Fairly well.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much.
He talks like he's from medieval times.
Seriously, I don't understand that guy. He's a fine man, I'm sure. Rick, I love the show. And subject line, a turtle is a reptile, not an amphibian. A turtle is an amphibian. Isn't it? Can't it live in the water and out of the water? I'm looking at Sarah realizing that no one in this room knows.
I think they need water.
Well, everything needs water.
So does that mean you're an amphibian?
I'm not an amphibian. I can't breathe underwater. But can't turtles breathe underwater? If they have to?
I saw a bunch of little turtles out in the swamps. They would be underwater for a long
time. What are those things? Gills? My brain has just turned itself off for some reason. I thought turtles had both lungs and gills. He says, I love the show and I'm not trying to hate, but sometimes you amaze me with your lack of basic knowledge. Yes, I know the feeling, sir. Well, whatever. So lizards are reptiles, but amphibians are also reptiles. Why does it even matter? Who cares? Why does it even matter if I know? What the difference does it make? If I go home today and I know, I don't know, doesn't matter.
No, but now it's bothering you.
Nothing matters. Nothing makes any difference. All right. We got Jim Roop coming up. We got Tim at the bottom of the hour. We got the top five. I got to clarify the second worst story ever. And I got to talk about this horrible headline with a horrible story that goes along with it.
Are we going to talk about my problem?
And then Sarah's bathroom issue. Not a bathroom issue, but you know what I mean. You got this. See, we... All right. So remember when we were at the other building? God, what is it with CBS and bathrooms? Did you see over at the Coin Tower, by the way, there's no air conditioning?
I saw that.
Yeah, have fun with that, Craig Adams, in your face. There's no air conditioning over there for like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's that sun beams right down into the CBS radio complex over there at the Coin Tower. I don't know who designed the Coin Tower. It's a beautiful building. It really is a beautiful structure. The lobby of CBS Radio Portland over at the Coin Tower is beautiful. But it's glass, and the sun, it's like one big magnifying glass. Like, during the spring and summer months, the sun just beams into that lobby. And I swear to God, the lobby over there is probably, no joke, probably 90 degrees. I mean, poor Carol just is over there, just sweats. And now there's no air conditioning this weekend. And then there was that whole business where they took away our bathrooms over there. The bathrooms were gone for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bathrooms here, we got some no flusher. There's like some person, unfortunately, none of the men's.
No flusher turning off the lighter. Like there's, I have to walk down a little hallway to get into the bathroom. There are no windows. We're in the basement. So I have to walk down a hallway and then go into the bathroom door, and that has a separate door, and then you have to, that has a light switch in there as well. So I've noticed lately that when I open the main door to go into the hallway, it's pitch black. Then I have to kind of feel my way down the hallway and open the bathroom, which is also pitch black. And then every time I open the bathroom door, there are two stalls in there, and the first stall is always there and not flushed.
See, and
this happened to me 3 times yesterday and once today.
And that's the thing that I equate with male behavior, not female behavior.
Three times.
See, who doesn't? And is this...
And it's like a battle of the lights. So I'll flush the toilet, and I'll turn the lights back on, and I'll go back in like an hour later, and the lights are all off, and the toilet's not flushed again.
And seriously, who's not turning on, who's leaving the lights off? I mean, come on, how much power could you possibly save? Bathroom, because everybody uses that bathroom. There's 100 people in this building. That bathroom gets used every 5 minutes. You're saving nothing. You're saving like $3 a year.
But today, the lights have all been on, but the toilet hasn't been flushed twice.
All right. And so,
it's gross.
Now is this the number two flushing, the number one flushing?
I believe it's number one. It's predominantly a lot of paper. It looks like a toilet seat cover and, like, toilet paper.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's no
maybe they're hydrated.
Of any kind?
I don't know.
So it's a colorless business?
It seems to be colored. I don't really look that much. Plus, it's packed full. It's like packed full of the toilet, seat cover thing, so I can't really see underneath it.
Now, do you use the seat cover?
No.
Yeah, see me either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't use it. Here's an irony. The seat cover, the little paper seat cover, I mean, unless you're like at Grand Central Station or something, the paper seat cover kind of grosses me out. I don't know why. For reasons that I can't really explain, it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
I'm not a fan.
I don't know why that is.
If I think a toilet is too dirty, I'll hover.
Yeah, you just don't touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, no touching.
But I don't know who this is, and it happened. It's happened sporadically, but yesterday it happened 3 separate times.
Well, I suspect that the turning off of the lights and the not flushing are part and parcel of the same thing. That's like a hippie saving the power kind of.
But it's going to eventually get flushed. Does she just think I'm going to pee on top of her pee? That's disgusting.
Well, and not only that, here's a thing I don't understand. I don't understand the business of not flushing the toilet very often. Like, why? They always say, well, it's because we're in a drought. But I mean, we're not running out of water. You know what I mean? Like, there is no end to the water supply. This is not one of the things where I'm playing dumb.
Well,
I'm not intentionally.
If you want to apply that at home, but with all these people, like, we don't know who half the people are who work here. Who knows what's going on? I don't. That's disgusting. Like, do that at your home. You don't need
like
to...
bands coming in, freaky musician types wandering on, interns and so forth. And I just don't even... And seriously, I think a lot of times people think that I intentionally act like dumber than I am. I really just don't understand things sometimes. Like, I don't understand the idea that you don't flush the toilet because you're saving water. You're not saving water. The planet.
Because I'm just flushing it anyway, too.
And the planet's a closed ecological system. You can neither create nor destroy matter. There's a finite amount of water on planet Earth. You cannot save water any more than you can save air. There's all the water that there is now is all the water there's ever been, all the water there's ever going to be. Is this in the afternoon? Because I suspect that I know who it might be.
No,
it might be, you know.
It was, I noticed it three times yesterday because, you know, you and I were nuts and we drank a lot of coffee and water.
12? Because we work with a hippie.
No, but she's a clean hippie.
She does seem clean. She doesn't smell. She seems scrubbed.
No, I would not think. Because that's a pretty disgusting thing to do. You're using a public shared bathroom, and you believe...
Seriously, and at your own home, you maybe... If you don't want to flush...
If you don't want to make those decisions, have your little, if it's yellow, let it mellow sign there. Don't do it in public when somebody else is responsible for flushing your waste down the toilet.
I'm really with you on that.
Are you thinking?
No, my chair is just broken. I'm going to go to the teeny other celebrity stool. My chair is sinking.
All of a sudden, I saw like your waist up, and all of a sudden, I just see your head.
I just see it. I'm just melting into the floor. I feel like the Wicked Witch of the West.
But I feel like we work with a lot of clean women, so I don't really know who it would be.
Well, I suspect a young person, because that ecological stuff is something that gets drilled into young people now in high school.
So all the people from upstairs use that same bathroom?
No, they can't even get down here, most of them. Most of them can't even get down here.
But this is before the locked door.
Oh, that's true. So it could be a salesperson. Now, salespeople don't care.
So they wouldn't be wandering through the lobby and going...
I don't know. Well, we'll find out. We'll ask... I'll ask Dave. I'll ask Dave Zinn if he has any thoughts about it. All right. Well, let's quickly get these. We got into the terrible story. We got Roop. What? Look... I'm not trying to pick a fight here, but what is the deal with CNN today? No Steve Kastenbaum. Lisa calls late. Laura passively yells at her to get off the phone. We have to call Ed McCarthy. Roop is now late. We have to call Roop. Scotty, at this point, there's probably no point in even calling him because we don't have time. So, you know what? If he calls, great. I'm not trying to be jerky about it. I understand it's probably not Jim's fault. Maybe things aren't getting passed along today for some reason. That seems like it might be the case. I don't mean to sound obnoxious. I'm not trying to sound like I'm being jerky about it. But we're not going to have time to be fair to Jim. We won't have enough time to talk to him. And I don't want him to get on the phone and have to, you know, take time to say the call. We're going to be busy. So, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Dave.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you can always count on me to be on time, at least.
Thank you, Dave. God bless you, sir.
By the way, a reptile, simply put, cold-blooded, lays eggs, has scales.
So the scales, that's why a bird is not a reptile.
Correct.
Birds are cold-blooded?
Not all.
Wait, are some birds warm-blooded?
There are penguins are warm-blooded birds.
So are penguins mammals?
Yes.
Okay, because
technically no, because
they lay eggs, though.
Right, correct. It's kind of like bats. I mean, bats are technically mammals, but there are a few animals... like the duck-billed platypus and such that are basically exceptions to the rule.
But they say the duck-billed platypus but that really is the only exception, isn't it?
Technically, yes, but, I mean, it's kind of like a tomato being a fruit or a vegetable. There are always some oddities out there. But, you know, as far as, you know, the reptilian world out there, you know, the three basic things, you know, cold-blooded, lays eggs, you know, has scales.
Okay.
And the other thing, has no hair.
Has no hair. Okay,
right.
Excellent. So that's what a reptile is. So an amphibian, though, simply refers to the ability to breathe on land or below water.
Correct.
So technically an amphibian, I mean, not now, but at some advanced point in our evolution, there could be mammals that are also amphibians.
Correct. Because like a dolphin, mammal, not amphibian, cannot breathe underwater.
Right. Okay. A turtle. Can a turtle breathe underwater, sir?
No. It can hold its breath for up to 45 minutes, though.
That's pretty damn impressive. That is pretty cool.
And turtles don't have gills, do they?
No.
All right.
Okay,
well,
that sounded kind of far-fetched.
I don't know. And you really didn't know either.
I didn't know, but I really didn't think that they had gills.
All right. I have nothing. All right. Now, and to answer the email I just got, no, I did not pay attention in high school. I filtered out early on things that I did not perceive to be of any worthwhile daily importance to my life. So, and you can now see that is all, those chickens are all coming home to roost right now. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
All right. Hi, you have a janitor story.
Yeah, at my work one day, we were bugging the janitor girl, what was worse, the boys or the girls' bathroom?
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, the girls, for sure. And we asked her why. What was the worst thing she ever saw? That someone had written in their own number two on the inside of the wall.
Oh, no.
And so
in the girls? Wait, hold on.
In the girls'
bathroom, where?
At our work.
But, I mean, what kind of, don't you have to say where, but what kind of work is this? I mean, is this
warehouse.
Really?
Like a warehouse.
So
yeah.
I was thinking you would say like a second grade school for retarded kids.
No, and I asked her if it was make your own crayon day, because apparently it was.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much. You know, that happened when I was going to school when I was a kid. When I was in like second grade, that happened, where they took us in the men's room because someone had defaced the wall using their own filth.
That's so gross.
It's seriously, and like...
Well, girls are disgusting because, you know, they're those little, the bins...
For your feminine products.
Feminine products.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll overflow, and people are like,
really?
People leave them open and not wrap things properly. Oh, it's just...
Because those aren't, I cannot believe I'm turning into such a woman. You can't, you're not supposed to flush those, right?
No.
Because they swell.
Because they can expand.
All right. Seriously, though, let me just say this. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm really not that. I mean, that business about when that dragged me into the restroom and someone had defaced the wall with their own whatever, their own whatnot. If you do that, that's beyond just being a slob. You need to be confined. So, Susan Reynolds wants to know who the downstairs hippie is. And she says, is it Lacey Turner? Yes. Yes, it is. Which is fine.
No, Lacey, yeah.
But you know what, Lacey...
Remember we were talking to her about her tie-dyed shirt that one day, and she's like, oh, I got it at REI.
Well...
She's a stylish hippie.
No, Lacey's great. We do love her. And I would, you know what, and I believe that Lacey is probably very tidy in every conceivable way. She seems like... Lacey's great. She really is great. She's the public affairs director here. So if you hear anything on this station that makes it sound like we care about the children or the environment or the world at large, that's Lacey's doing. That's not our doing. She makes us look like good, respectable, upstanding people. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, the world water supply is increasing. That's not true. I'm not even going to read that email because that's just made up. All right. Let's get this final call. Then we'll do this horrible story. We'll break. We'll come back with Tim, then the top five. Won't that be fun? Here's, hi, Karen. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that Dave was a little off the mark. There are snakes that give live birth, and the thing that makes you a mammal is that you have mammary glands and you feed your young.
Not me specifically, but...
penguins are not mammals. They are... Warm-blooded.
I guess that makes sense. Mammal, mammary. Okay, I guess that makes
right.
sense. Now, here's a dumb question. Now, do men have mammary glands?
Yes.
Really? Is it they just don't do anything?
Exactly. Just like, all of our bodies are exactly the same, except hormones make us different.
I guess that's true. And I do believe, this is one of those things I'm making up, but I believe it anyway. I do believe that all humans start as a female, don't they? Isn't that why men have nipples?
Do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then nature differentiates at some point.
The ovaries become testicles. I mean, if they're all the same parts, they're just used in different ways because of the hormones.
Interesting. All right.
But,
fantastic.
And the cold, and animals who are, their body temperature reacts to the temperature outside of them is what makes them cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded animals are exactly the same temperature as their surroundings.
Exactly. And that's what makes them different, not the mammal, non-mammal thing.
All right. Fantastic. They have no internal heat regulation.
Exactly.
Did you go to college to learn this, or are you just smart?
I'm the one that called you about Coco, too.
Oh, about Coco the gorilla.
Yeah.
Really? You are impressive, Karen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You call us anytime.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, that's good, Karen. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to read the story. When we get back, somebody has a question for Sarah about going to New Orleans, or Narlands, as they say. Scotty's saying the water supply is increasing because of melting ice. I thought you didn't believe in that, Scotty. Yeah, in your face. Let's see, where did the story go? Okay, so this was sent to me by... Who the hell sent me this story? Hold on a second. I'm going to quickly identify this from Crystal. Crystal sent me this. This is from Australia, where life is cheap and disgusting. We're reading this. This is a news story now. We are reading as part of serving the public interest, convenience, and necessity as mandated by the Federal Communications Commission. Because you never know when these things are going to happen to you. A Brisbane woman stabbed a male friend twice in the shower after he refused to stop masturbating in front of her children.
Oh, what?
Well, I sounded like he was given a warning. It took twice. That's the great thing. Is it took twice? Stop it. No. Stop it. No.
Stab.
Stop it. No. Defense lawyers for Kylie Louise Wilson said that the mother of two, quote, lost it when her friend of 6 years, Daniel Peter Blair, began pleasuring himself on April 6th of last year. Apparently, he had just showed up at her apartment and he took amphetamines before having a shower. Whilst in the bathroom, I love foreign newspapers, whilst in the bathroom, he began the act of self-love before moving to his, Wilson's bedroom, rather, where he rolled around naked on her bed and continued his lewd behavior. He returned to the bathroom for more and was busted by the mom, who was attempting to bathe her 3.5-year-old daughter. The court heard Mr. Blair refuse her repeated request to stop his behavior, prompting her to fetch a knife from the kitchen, which she used to stab him twice in the left shoulder. He then paused to put on his trousers and flee outside to wait for police, but was again overcome by the urge and began the activity again. The police say in this news story, quote, despite his injury, it seems that he continued to corral the tadpole while in the garage, the prosecutor said. Police took him to the hospital where he received treatment for the minor stab wounds. It's unknown whether he continued this behavior at the hospital. All right, there you go. Yes, it's just as bad as you thought it would be. What can all of these people possibly be calling about? Well, we get back. Let's see. Blah, 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 reptile. Blah, 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 New Orleans. Blah, 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 other stuff. Tim Riley, top five. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere.
As a razor rips through the music. Yes, and now that we stand, no matter we fall, together we can...
Well, hold on. So... It just happened again, but the lights were off, but the toilet had been flushed.
Both the hall light and the bathroom light were both off, but the toilet had been flushed, but the water was still kind of moving a little.
So maybe they flushed after number two, not after number one. They always turn the lights off, though.
They always turn the lights off.
It is mellow yellow brown down kind of a thing. But always the lights will go off. Okay, so clearly someone needs to stand outside the bathroom. Are you thinking it's,
I don't know. Who's to say?
All right.
Or could it be?
Is. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, well, let's see. What do we... So little to do, so much time. All right. Scotty, can you talk to line one there? I'm going to tip our hand quite. Talk to line one. Tell them we'll get them in a few. In the meantime, then we'll do the top five. This, however, is the one, the only Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Killer Tickle ended up a decision today after testimony came out that Tickle was incompetent to enter a plea bargain and sent him to prison for 111 years. In other news, something for the ladies here. Dancing with the Stars, season 3 runner-up Mario Lopez is the winner when it comes to his pecs. In Touch magazine, that's the one for $1.99, I think, has put the former Saved by the Bell star number one on his new hottest chess list. In Touch lifestyle director Jared Weaselman says, Lopez is just getting better with age.
You had forgotten all those years ago on Saved by the Bell when he was so buff. Now he's even fitter and older, and it's sort of like his good looks settled. You know, he almost looks better now than he did when he was younger.
Weaselman shares why the frequently shirtless Matthew McConaughey wasn't number one on the hottest chess list.
I think you always want to catch people, you know, by surprise, and I think... Everyone is a little bit numb to seeing Matthew McConaughey without a shirt on now.
It's really true. It's like Iggy Pop, who's like 100 years old. When's the last time you saw Iggy Pop with his shirt on? You've never seen Iggy Pop with his shirt on. Ever. Guy's like 1,000 years old. When have you ever seen Anthony Kiedis with his shirt on? Never. There's a whole bunch of guys that are only seen shirtless. Sawyer from Lost, always seen with it, you know, either shirtless or shirt, like, open. Mario Lopez, Well, whatever. What does he even do? Oh, he's Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Matthew McConaughey, he does seem a little dangerously overexposed, though. He is sort of everywhere. I just love the fact that there's a guy named Weaselman. That's fantastic. Is that like a gardening tool? No, is that like
a garden Weaselman?
I was just going to say, is that like the Leatherman tool, only it's for like squirrely looking guys? When it comes time to like blah, 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 I use my Weaselman. I got no joke there. All right.
That's that.
Okay.
Oh, Nick Lachey has also been known for his rock-hard chest, says Weasel.
He actually got paid $500,000 to star in a workout video. I mean, that just goes to show, like, how important his body is to him, because he gets paid $500,000 just to appear and work out shirtless.
He does have a chest you could play handball on. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, seriously. Nick Lachey.
So now that you know everything about this, why spend $1.99 on Intel?
You don't need to buy it now.
Are you serious?
Nick Lachey.
He has a chest you can play handball on?
He has a chiseled physique, does he not?
What? Weird.
Look, I am not allowed to make comments on the aesthetic, the aesthetic whatever of men. I'm not allowed to make observations on that. I'm simply saying, it's like when we had that thing the other day about George Clooney. And I'm saying that George Clooney is the new benchmark for guy. He is the new ultimate guy benchmark. Has been for a couple of years. He is the epitome of cool. There is no guy on planet Earth right now cooler than George Clooney. I defy you to come up with a guy cooler than George Clooney. It can't be done. Maybe next year. Not right now, though. Brad Pitt was cool. Not right now. He's only cool. Right now, Brad Pitt is only cool when he's with George Clooney.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's cool when he's hanging out with George Clooney. You can get him away from that big pussy. So George Clooney's really cool. Nick Lachey, a good-looking man. I know you don't think so, and that's the weird thing to me.
Nick Lachey? Oh, not at all.
It's weird to me that you don't find him to be an attractive man. I find Nick Lachey, he is a very attractive man. He's a good-looking guy. I just don't think, I don't know how you don't see that. Well, whatever. You know who, did I ever mention who Nick Lachey looks like to me? He looks like the sort of more solidly built version of our friend Mark Baumgarten, who used to write at the Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he had an older brother who worked out a lot and took steroids.
Well, see, I think Mark Baumgarten's a good looking fellow.
Yeah, but you like those guys who are rail thin and look like they're about to pass out. You know it's true.
It's true.
Those guys, it's completely true. Guys who look like...
It's sexy.
Those guys are just, I mean, you like men who are very slender. And I'm not trying to knock anybody. I'm just saying the guys who are very almost gaunt looking. I mean, you got kind of a thing for that. The underfed guy. I don't know what that's all about. I just think maybe it's like a guy that you think you could take in a fight, like if you had to. It's a guy you could take to the ground, like if push came to shove. All right. I don't even know what we're doing here. Rick, the hippie saying is, yeah, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Then he says, I hate hippies. Hate.
Yeah, so I just missed her. I wonder if she's listening.
I think it's, I think it's our friend.
Yeah?
The one who walked by. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know her.
No, me either.
Okay.
All right. let's see, what are we doing here? Okay, well, okay, well, I gotta do, real quickly, I gotta do this, though. Let's
welcome. What was the New Orleans question, too?
So, we'll do that real, we'll get to this real quickly, and then we'll do the top five. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Cross Country, Nate. Joining
Hello.
Us. Hi. Was that you playing that?
Yeah, we're in Ohio. That's all I could think of.
Are you drunk again, Nate?
No, I'm so glad I'm out of Wisconsin.
Three drunk in Ohio. So you love Wisconsin. Where in Ohio are you, sir?
We're at a little park on one of these little offshoot highways, so we don't have to pay the tolls.
You're sure you're not drunk?
I'm positive. Just right. Tired. Got a sore butt cheek.
Just one. So is it now? Here's a dumb question because I've never been there. Is it pretty in Ohio? Is it a nice looking place?
It's beautiful out here. We met these like 85-year-old couple, and they're giving us all this advice. It's a nice country too. It's a really green.
So now I apologize that we have slacked on our end and not really got a list of destinations for you. We're going to get to that tomorrow, definitely. But do you have... I want to be you in my next life. Just mellow. What is your plan when you roll out of Ohio, sir?
Well, I was gonna see if we could find out if any listeners know a place for us to stay anywhere in the neck of the United States.
Are you talking about like now, or are you like the next week, or?
Well, not tonight.
But maybe, yeah, this week, whatever.
All right. So
anywhere. We're just we're heading to Maine, so.
Okay, so you're headed to Maine?
Yeah, we're going to go up through Pennsylvania, and we want to see Niagara Falls.
All right.
In New York.
That's so. Amish country. You can go through like Lancaster and the whole Amish place there. All right. Do me a favor, and I apologize because we're just so short on time here. I'm pushing hold. Give Scotty like an overview of where you are and what your plans are like in the next few days, blah, blah, blah. And that'll give us enough to flesh out some thoughts from the audience tomorrow.
That will be awesome.
Excellent. Do me a favor. Play that riff one more time before you go.
All right. We're not there.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye now. Hold on. There you go. Thank you. Hold on a second.
He's totally drunk.
Totally. Hi, real quick, Deacon, real quickly, you got a question for Sarah about Nolens.
Yeah, not necessarily Nolens, but I was the one that called and recommended the buying the treats for the flight attendants on the way down.
I
know if she gave that a shot and if it worked out for her.
I didn't, but we went to a bar before because our flight wasn't until like 12:30 on a Wednesday. So the flight attendants didn't really like us anyway because we were half drunk by the time we got on the plane. So nothing would have really happened. But no, the flights were fine. We flew Continental, and it was good. But I did think about the treats.
Remember it for next time, perhaps.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Do we have time to do the top five? Let's be honest.
Five.
Oh, well
four,
done.
Three.
I like it when you just
two,
make this. I like it when you
one,
take control, Sarah.
Five.
No, seriously. I like it when I don't have to think about it. Sometimes you're just like, yes. Here's what we're doing now.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love
Aaron Geek in the City just sent this email when he says, Nick Lachey is dreamy. Okay.
And maybe he's attractive to other men.
He's very, you know what it is?
I think he is very unattractive.
He's got... And you know what? Everybody's getting off my back. He's got a very kind of a masculine thing, but I would say he is sort of a pretty man at the same time. He is a good combination, I think, of pretty and masculine. Not unlike Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, see, that's another man that I do not find attractive either.
See, I'm just saying, for me, Matthew McConaughey, very good-looking guy. I mean, whatever. We don't have time.
Let's talk about more men you find attractive.
That's our new weekend show. Here's Tim Riley's weekend of the top five hippie anthems.
With honorable mention, going to Barry McGuire with Eve of Destruction.
Oh, the live version.
It is exploding. While it's flaring. Body's floating. They're old enough to kill. Not
this is not nearly at the Tom Waitsy and throat-tearing levels of the album version.
Yeah.
Is it where he's performing this?
And I don't know, in some ways it's like a big...
He didn't even write this. It's written by a...
I'm sorry, I know I keep saying unattractive man, but he looks pretty bad.
He's an ugly hippie. What do you want? He's
wearing
a hippie.
The tightest pants I've ever seen. Wow.
I don't you understand what I'm trying to say.
When I was a teenager, I thought this song was so deep.
Feeling today. If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save.
He's all Christian now. He disowned the song. Won't sing it anymore. He didn't even write this. It was like a guy who ran a record label and ad agency, if I remember correctly, who wrote this. He made no money on it, so he hates it. And so now he sings for Jesus. All right. Counting down the top five hippie anthems with Barry McGuire there. I have the full album, by the way, at home.
The Cowsills with Hair at number five.
Oh, that's me. That's totally me. I should have been on.
I'm hairy, high and low.
I hate hippies.
But don't ask
me why. I love all of these songs.
Because he don't know.
Eve of Destruction was great when I was a kid. This is always the
kid with hair.
Oh, God.
Long, beautiful hair.
You just sing this in your family singing group, Rick?
What? No. What? No.
When you sing with your family?
No, that was all like Loretta Lynn, Hank Sr. No, my dad would never.
Matching bell bottoms.
No. We were not nearly that cool. My dad would never. If I'd suggested singing this, he would have beaten me to death with a belt.
Throw it, throw it. Long as I can throw it, my hair.
Let me put it this way. Between this and the Ballad of the Green Berets, my dad would have been more in favor of singing the latter song.
They're best known for singing the theme from Love American Style.
I didn't know they sang that.
Really?
Yeah. And they were the model for? No, but seriously, the Cow Sills were the model for what group?
The Partridge Family.
Absolutely. I think the Cow Sills ended up all pissed off and bitter, too. I don't think they made any money either.
No, they made some good real estate investments. I know one of the members of the Cow Sills.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so they ended up making money somewhere, just not in music.
Right.
Good for them.
In real estate.
Because I know that they got shafted. I know somebody basically bought their life story for like $5.
Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, I hate the song.
If you can.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the Cow Sills is now a disc jockey at Kay Hayes. Life comes full circle, doesn't it, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Counting on the top five hippie anthems of all time. Number four, The Fifth Dimension with The Age of Aquarius.
Oh. Yes.
Dee-dee-dee-dee. It's spooky. Plug in those lava lamps.
Hey, you mellow cats.
Isn't this from What's It, that movie, or the thing, or whatever, where he was
virgin?
Nude? Well, and 40-Year-Old Virgin. But what am I thinking? Was it Hair? This isn't from Hair, though, is it?
No.
This is like its own thing.
Yeah.
This was from an album. Was Hair where they were all nude?
Yes, it was.
They had the famous... But yeah, the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin, which is now where everybody now remembers it from. The Age of Aquarius.
It didn't matter. People sang this.
Was there like an Age of Sagittarius? I don't understand even what it means.
Maybe it was the moon of that year.
Maybe.
Or month. I don't know.
There's a bunch of psychedelic thing going on.
Seriously. A bunch of unshaven hippies rolling around in mud. All right.
Number three, the Youngbloods and Get Together.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is like the entirety of the Forrest Gump soundtrack.
It really is. You're right about that. Seriously, I'm doing like a laughing 60s dance over there.
You know these little songs sing.
Is this Freedom Rock, man?
Yes, we will die.
Folgers Crystals?
Yeah.
Hello? Sarah hitting it simultaneously. Fantastic. Hello. Do you remember when Garth Brooks sampled this for that song of his?
Oh, that was horrible.
I kind of liked it, actually. Did you hate the Chris Gaines thing?
It was okay.
I liked the Chris Gaines thing, and I liked when Garth Brooks sampled this. I'm going to play that tomorrow just to annoy people.
Chris Gaines, Get Together.
I'm not saying, I'm just...
Not your love.
No. My child is special. No, I'm just saying, these hippie songs fill me with all of this inexplicable Anglo Church things that I have no business hating. But they're just singing about love and peace and getting along, but it's like the song just makes me hate all of those things. The song fills me with rage.
Yeah.
All right. Counting to the top five hippie anthems of all time.
Number two, The Birds with Turn, Turn, Turn.
Absolutely. This is complete. And Catholics had to grow up endlessly being reminded about how this is from the Bible. From the book of whatever. This is a beautiful song. I mean, musically speaking, melodically speaking, the song is beautiful.
Yeah, but love.
You know what?
Love.
That's L-U-V. All right, even I can't hate this song. These songs don't just make you want to sway like wheat in the wind. Great guitar, too, and great harmonies. And that great Rickenbacker sound there. And, you know, you really without the... I don't know the timeline of the Birds and Dylan and how all that happened, but I mean... But really, honestly, if you take these guys away, there's probably no Tom Petty. You know, Tom Petty just took what little he didn't steal from Dylan, he stole from these guys. Great sounding record. That's a beautiful song. Counting down the top five hippie anthems of all time, I can hate this one with no problem.
And at number one, here is Scott McKenzie. And if you go to San Francisco, put some flowers in your hair, gal.
Get a job first.
I don't like this song.
Is this in Zodiac? Yes, really?
Yeah. It's about that same time, yeah.
I'll never listen to that Hurdy-Gurdy Man song again, by the way. Do you know that, here's an interesting thing about the movie Zodiac. Hurdy-Gurdy Man, they played the beginning and the end of Zodiac. Donovan, who sang Hurdy-Gurdy Man, is the father of Ione Sky, who is the girl, who's the mom who her and the baby are picked up by Zodiac in the car.
Oh.
And he's like, I'll throw your baby out the window. That's Donovan's daughter. How weird is that?
That is weird.
Yeah, I hate this song. So
she may have been conceived during the Summer of Love.
Probably. Let's see, 67.
All right, really need to break.
Okay. Let's get back after this, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. We return. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Got to almost everything today. Didn't get to this business about the second worst story. We'll do that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger. And something else was going to happen tomorrow. Oh, Fatboy Robert's going to join us from, KUFO. He'll be in here. Real quickly, Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Two quick things. One, honorable mention for hippie songs. Scarborough Fair deserved to be mentioned.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, totally. And somebody else, Diana mentioned the Fish song, which is the Feel Like I'm Fixin' to Die rag by Country Joe and the Fish, which is a great, great song.
And then secondly, Nate, if he's going to Maine, he's got to try the McLobster sandwich at McDonald's. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard of, let alone tried.
When you say unbelievable... I mean,
it's just like a McRib with a fishy smell.
Phrase of the day, right there. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Okay. Like the McRib with a fishy smell. I'll leave you with that. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Ed MacArthur today. And I guess those are all the CNN Radio people we were allowed to speak to today. Doesn't matter. We're on the West Coast. Don't really count. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, RPA, Scotty J. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded, which I failed at today. And
you
remember,
failed.
I know I failed. And so forth. And remember to watch out for snakes. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thank you for listening. Bye now.
One big fiesta for you.